We will fight for America like no one has ever fought before. 2024 is our final battle. With you at my side, we will demolish the deep state. We will expel the warmongers from our government. We will drive out the globalists. We will cast out the communists, Marxists, and fascists. We will throw off the sick political class that hates our country. We will rout the fake news media. We will drain the swamp. And we will liberate our country from these tyrants and villains once and for all. We will be a liberated country again. Like those patriots before us, we will not bend. We will not break. We will not yield. We will never give in. We will never give up. And we will never, ever back down. With your support, we will go on to victory, the likes of which no one has ever seen before. We will evict crooked Joe Biden from the White House, and we will take back our country on Election Day 2024. The great silent majority is rising like never before, and under our leadership, the forgotten man and woman will be forgotten no longer. We are one movement, one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. And together we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And we will make America great again. Thank you, New Hampshire. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you.
Oh, brings tears to my eyes. President Trump. Well, we do have Pianki here somewhere. I hear him rattling around.
How you doing, Donnie?
Hey, sir, I called you earlier.
I was asleep.
Oh,
hang
okay.
on there for a sec. Hang on there.
Okay.
Give me
All
that
right.
box of Kleenex so I can dry my eyes after hearing that.
Same here.
Yeah, I was, must have been asleep. Resting.
Yeah.
How you feeling, buddy?
I'm hanging in there, bud. Hanging in there. I left my phone, and I finally got it, and seen that you called yesterday. I called you, but you need to fix your voicemail, or, yeah, I couldn't leave you a voice message. It hasn't been set up, it said. I said, no, being lazy on me.
Well, I bought another phone, I guess, 2 or 3 months ago. I don't know. I tell you what, I get enough text, though. But I called you several times. I was worried about you there for a second. I was getting ready to get in the car and come up there looking for you.
Oh, everything's good. I got a couple tests I got to take. I haven't set it up yet, but I'll set it up this week. Yeah.
All right, sounds great.
Yeah. How about the Davos, boy? They had a couple of surprises. I guess Argentina, their president really let them have it. And the president of the Heritage Foundation. I don't know if you guys heard this, but I'm going to play a little bit of it.
Heritage Foundation leader bashes World Economic Forum during Davos event. Rob, if you got this... the video to play. Yeah, it's fantastic. Absolutely. If you have the clip, just play it. Oh, fantastic. Just go ahead and play the clip.
It's laughable that you would or anyone would describe Davos as protecting liberal democracy. It's equally,
standing up for it.
It's equally laughable to use the word dictatorship at Davos and aim that at President Trump. In fact, I think that's absurd. But I'm going to step aside from that constructive criticism and instead answer your question.
Yep.
And I'm going to be substantive here. President Trump, if he's the next president, for that matter, I think whoever the next conservative president is going to take on the power of the elites, which I mentioned earlier. But the thing that I want to drive home here, the very reason that I'm here at Davos, is to explain to many people in this room and who are watching, with all due respect, nothing personal, but that you're part of the problem. Political elites tell the average people on three or four or five issues that the reality is X, when in fact reality is Y. Take immigration. Elites tell us that open borders and even illegal immigration are okay. The average person tells us in the United States that both rob them of the American way of life. They're right. President Trump will take that on behalf of the average American.
Wow.
Elites also tell us that public safety isn't a problem in big American cities. Just travel to New York or Washington or Dallas, Texas. The average person will tell you that the lack of public safety damages not just the American way of life, but their life. President Trump will take that on. Thirdly, I guess the favorite at the World Economic Forum is climate change. Elites tell us that we have this existential crisis with so-called climate change, so much so that climate alarmism is probably the greatest cause for mental health crisis in the world. The solutions the average person know based on climate change are far worse and more harmful and cost more human lives, especially in Europe during the time that you need heating, than do the problems and the problems themselves. Fourth, two more here, Robin. Fourth, China. The number one adversary, not just to the United States, but to free people on planet Earth. Not only do we at Davos not say that, we give the Chinese Communist Party a platform. Count on President Trump ending that nonsense. And fifth, as we sit here, another supranational organization, the World Health Organization, is discussing foisting gender ideology upon the global South. These are practices that are under review, if not being rejected, by countries in Northern Europe. The new president, especially if it's President Trump, will, as you like to say, trust the science. Mm-hmm. He will understand the basic biological reality of manhood and womanhood. And do you know why?
Wow. He is so
not because of retribution,
you know,
not because
no.
he's a dictator,
fantastic.
But because he has the power of the American people behind him. And it's connected to Senator Portman's excellent point that in addition to needing a vigorous executive, we look forward to having the popular will inform both the House and Senate in 2025 to pass laws on all of those issues and
you can
many
pause
others.
It right there. So Glenn, I got a question for you. So question for you is, why would World Economic Forum have him?
There
give them the platform and Milei to say what they
so
said.
So there are more elections this year than any other time in world history. Okay, it's happening all over the world.
Is it like 60?
No, it's 42.
42.
42% of people will be voting.
Voting
yeah.
this year.
Oh, gotcha.
Largest Christian country, largest Muslim countries this
wow.
year.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it is. It's happening unlike ever before. It's falling apart on them. Okay. People are starting to wake up all over the world, and it's falling apart. They need to take some of that stink off of them. And I think by having them and being invited to go speak, you look like, well, no, now wait a minute. You're kind of reasonable. Okay. There were maybe six people that because he gave a speech, there may be six people that clapped occasionally. Huh. Same thing with Javier. Just nobody is supporting in that room. Nobody is supporting that, but they look open to at least listening to common sense. And they're doing it at the same time they've taken global warming off number one, war, not number one threat, economics, not number one. Their number one is mis and disinformation.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're saying, I mean, one of them said it, I think yesterday, that we control the science. We control the facts. That's ours. Wow, how arrogant is that?
Yeah.
Okay. They haven't changed at all, but they're changing faces. Just like, and I'd love to get your opinion on this. I saw a story. ESG is over. Bull crap. It will just be called something else.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Reverse, can I ask you one question about World Economic Forum?
Essentially,
what was the gentleman who gave that speech?
Heritage.
He's the president.
It starts with a K, Rob?
Find his name is great.
Kevin Roberts.
Kevin Roberts.
All right, What did you think of that? Bianchi, I can't talk.
I think it's a good start, Donnie.
And that was at Davos. I mean, I think this is Joseph. I'm not sure. Joseph?
No, it's not. This is Jedi Capricorn calling from Florida. How you doing tonight?
Hey, Jedi. How you doing?
I'm stressed out. I was just listening to your show. That whoever was just talking, that guy is completely mentally ill and insane. Donald Trump is the Antichrist. The fucking Antichrist. Oh, yeah. He's the father of lies, Lucifer. His wife is a former bisexual nude model from Russia. His ex-wife is from Russia. He fucking said he could grab any girl by the pussy because he has money and he's a star 20 years ago. I can't even do that, and I'm gorgeous.
You are gorgeous. I've seen a picture.
I know. Try that shit in a strip bar. A girl could be buck naked. You go grab her by the pussy, she's going to beat your ass and so are the bouncers, and they're going to have you arrested. A sexual battery. Can't just grab any girl by the pussy. And now he's claiming to be a divine being and savior of America, and he's the second coming of Jesus Christ. Everybody following Donald Trump is breaking the first commandment. No false gods before me. And they're all going to burn in hell.
I hate to lose beautiful people, but I have to go. See ya.
Wow.
Bianchi, all your friends.
Well, I tell you what, Donnie.
What's that?
As a black United States citizen of America, I'm voting for Donald Trump.
No,
and
you
know
go.
One thing about him saying grab him by the pussy? I'm glad he didn't say grab him by the balls.
Yeah, I am too. I might have had to vote for Biden or Hillary. No, I couldn't even do that. How you doing, Lori Ann's in the chat room? She'll be there and be here shortly. What did you think of that tape? I thought that was the place, the auditorium was packed, and they did. They looked like they were, what the hell is he talking about? What is this dude talking about? Because a lady was just up there, said that Trump is going to be a dictator if he's elected president, and he'll never leave office. Never. And what? These people know better than that. All these people know better than that. But they keep spreading his bullshit, all these lies. Don't know what to say. I hope everybody watched all that Davos stuff because it was interesting. Now they want to tell us. We wouldn't be able to do this show because we'd be disinformation. So they would stop Blog Talk, my show anyway. And everybody I listen to. So that's what they're trying to set up now.
They're you talk about dictatorships, some of these cities have had congressional representation of the same individual for 25, 30, 35, 40, 45 years. And I can name a lot of them. If you're coming. Your Clyburns, your Clays in St. Louis, 32 years, another 18 with his son. If that ain't a dictator, then I don't know what the terminology, how it's better defined.
That's right. That is right. The Dingle family also, just don't let them out from Detroit.
Yeah, and the Kanye family.
Oh, yeah.
Well, forget him. Some of these black politicians, they become household piece of furniture. They've been around so long. And with the same rhetoric and the same complaint, almost identical to the letter, over and over and over again. If that ain't a dictator, I don't know how to better describe one.
Every election, every time there was election and Kanye was running, they would take a film crew over to where his address is with a city, and the grass would be knee high, and the neighbors would come out, will you get that sorry blankety blank out here and get it, at least hire somebody to cut his grass? And one guy said, I cut it all last year. And he doesn't live here. There's nobody here. And, you know, hell no, he doesn't stay in Detroit. Come on. What's wrong with you folks? He doesn't even know where Detroit is anymore. Well, he's dead now. And him and his girlfriend, I don't know whatever happened to her. His assistant. Yeah, so these people don't even live in their own district. They own their own state, as a matter of fact.
Well, like that Elijah Cummings there in Baltimore. Hell, when he died, his wife took the position that she should inherit the throne.
Oh, God.
His daughter... His daughter felt that it was proper for her to use his congressional plates on her Uber operations. So it just goes on and on and on and on.
Yeah. Let me get Lori Ann on. Hi, Lori Ann. And this is probably...
Well, hello. Happy Saturday to you.
Joseph, is this you?
Yes, this is me. You thought I was the other whack job calling in, but boy, they started out early tonight. Jedi. Yeah, okay, Jedi.
Jedi Capricorn. I should have known.
Well, at least you're the whack job that we like.
I'm the neo-Nazi, right?
It was a three.
Yeah, the neo-Nazi violent anti-government extremists that we like.
Yeah.
352 area code. I just got it wrong. That's all. Kathy or Daniel, you're on the other line. How you doing?
Doing fine.
Ah, Kathy. Excuse me.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Kathy.
Hello there. Hope everyone had a good day. We've been in an ice box down south here.
Yeah, I heard it was still icy.
How you doing, Kathy?
Hey there.
Seen anything good lately?
No, I haven't been out in a week. We've had ice down here. Can't go anywhere.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, layers of ice. So, you know, been in all week, literally. And I think Oregon's under an ice freeze too, aren't they, Lori?
Oh, we are thawing out now, Yeah, we had quite the adventurous past week or so with ice storms and stuff, especially here in Salem. We got off easy, though, compared to Portland. I mean, Portland's just crazy with downed trees. I think two people died from downed trees falling on their homes and all kinds of craziness, power outages all over the place in the Portland metro area. So, we got our ice storm here too, but we definitely didn't get hit as hard as the Portland area did.
Lorianne,
all kinds of just nutty stuff.
What did they do with the homeless people?
That is a good question. I think they're, they've tried to expand more housing, get them indoors as much as possible, that sort of thing, temporarily, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, but a lot of homeless just tough it out, They don't go anywhere. They just tough it out. It's kind of crazy, but some of them just don't even want to, go into some of these facilities for whatever reason, and they just tough it out there on the street.
Well, I guess if you can make it, I don't know how. I'm cold now, and I'm in the cave. I'm cold. It's cold. But it's going to warm up next week here in Michigan. It's going to get all the way up to 40 degrees. God damn.
I wonder, when you go to these shelters, when these homeless go to these shelters, do they have to give their name and show some kind of ID?
I know.
Because that would make a lot of them not want to go because they want to be off the radar. You know, they don't want to be a part of the system.
You might, I don't know. You might be right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
You could be right.
And one good thing about the storm is that traffic cameras went offline during the ice storm. And they're still working to fix it.
You mean the surveillance? The surveillance
cameras? Yeah, the surveillance cameras, yes. Yes, they didn't fare so well with all the ice. So you can get by with rolling stop or, you know, all kinds of stuff because the traffic cameras aren't working.
I can see the good in having these traffic cameras, but I can also see the bad, you know, people's privacy. But I can see the good where they do catch some robbers. They catch some burglars, you know. So we have to give up a little of our privacy to keep our streets safe, I guess.
Yeah. I guess we do.
Yeah, well, I think they've taken it a little too far with the surveillance state that we got.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did anybody watch CNBC during the week? And
why?
Well, they were all in Davos. I wanted to know if you've seen the faces of these people when they were listening to Jamie Dimon on CNBC. Check out what he had to say.
Look at the way he breaks down the 2024 election and how the left have been saying certain things. Just watch this and pay very close attention. Maybe the most powerful man in the financial industry today, Jamie Dimon. Go ahead.
They're growing. They're hungry to grow. They're innovating. It's everywhere. It's not just Silicon Valley. So we've got this great hand. But when people say MAGA, they're actually looking at people voting for Trump, and they think they're voting, and they're basically scapegoating them, that you are like him. But I don't think they're voting for Trump because of his family values. Now, if you look, just take a step back, be honest. He's kind of right about NATO, kind of right about immigration.
Mm-hmm.
He grew the economy quite well.
Tax
reform worked.
Wow.
He was right about some of China. I don't like what he did.
No, I said China virus.
Yeah, I understand.
Shut up.
And I don't like how he said things about Mexico.
Well,
I don't like, but he wasn't wrong about some of these critical issues. And that's why they're voting for him. And I think people should be a little more respectful of our fellow citizens. And when you guys have people up here, you should always ask the why. Not like it's a binary thing. You're supporting Trump, you're not supporting Trump. Why are you supporting
Trump?
It's
hard to hate 75 million of your fellow Americans.
I agree.
The
Democrats have done a pretty good job with the deplorables, hugging onto their Bibles and their beer and their guns. I mean, really, like, can we just stop that stuff and actually grow up and treat other people with respect and listen to them a little bit?
You know what he's talking to?
Hillary Clinton. Yeah, he's talking to Hillary. For 1 second right there, Ralph. By the way, what just the one thing that popped out, I observe a lot of things. Look at what pin he's wearing. Ukraine.
Is that a Ukraine pin?
Give me a break, bro. You're in the United States.
Can you punch in a little bit?
Okay, yeah, he's wearing a Ukraine pin.
Sounds like your show, Donnie, where everybody's talking at the same time.
Yeah, they got a little upset when a guy always pops off when he gets upset. But that's Valuetainment, which they have 5.23 million subscribers. They're very good. They have a good show every day. Who is Jamie Dimon? You don't know who Jamie Dimon is?
Well, I just don't remember. I mean, who is he? What is he?
Probably the biggest banker, he's CEO of J.P. Morgan.
Okay. All right, I got you.
I know you.
Well, I saw him on the news the other day, J.P. Morgan. So
yeah.
I just didn't catch his name.
I knew you knew his name. You knew who he was.
Yeah, they kind of stirred up a little trouble at Davos this, you know, this past week. Some of these concerns. Did you watch the Malay, Argentina's president? Did y'all watch his little speech?
Yeah. Yes,
I was just going to mention that, yeah. I watched part of it, but yeah, I think he really upset the apple cart there at Davos.
Yes, he did, and so did Italy's prime minister, too.
No, I didn't see that one.
Well, I didn't either, but I read about it.
Yeah.
I mentioned Malay and Italy's Maloney. Maloney is Italy's. And it also brought up something about Netherlands, the Netherlands, whoever was there. Talking about Trump was right. Trump was right, you know. So something's going on around the world in these other countries.
Well, hopefully.
And see, Davos, they're part of the one world order, see. They want one government, and they want to control everything. And these conservative leaders coming out from these other countries, you know, they want their sovereignty. So this just doesn't go along with what the Davos is their agenda is.
Well, they want to go after free speech now. Although they won't call it free speech.
I saw something just a minute ago on TV or a video. They said that 40% of the world's population this year will be voting on a new leader.
40%.
42%.
We just played.
Ain't that amazing?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it is. This will be the year.
You see what that woman in Finland who read a passage in the Bible and the local prosecutor prosecuting her twice and she was found not guilty for whatever. Now she's trying to find another court to prosecute her again. They want to send her to prison.
That sound like Trump.
Well, I mean, they can't prosecute her on the other thing, so he said that they were trying to prosecute her on something else.
Oh, no, the guy's trying to find another court to prosecute her in.
Oh,
try to get a different decision. Well, isn't that something? It's like that man that was, he was across the street from an abortion clinic, and he was just reading his Bible. And he got arrested. Just doing nothing by himself and got arrested. Crazy world.
That is crazy. Well, some of them on January 6th that got arrested. They weren't even there on January 6th.
Yeah.
They got arrested.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Hopefully we can turn it around. We will see. I don't know. Nikki Haley's in a world of trouble.
She don't even qualify to run as president.
But she is. So we'll stop with the qualifier.
Well, I know, but she don't. You know, that's what I say when somebody asks me, what do you think about Nikki Haley? Well, I don't even think about her because she don't even qualify to run.
Well,
you know, I don't. I don't think about her. And I don't, anything that she says, I don't think about it.
Well, you never know. You never know. She might be our next president. You never know.
They find a way of cheating. I don't think they're going to be able to cheat this time around in 24. They're just not. I don't think, although I heard in Iowa, Haley had some people out on the streets drumming up votes for her, and they were offering gift cards. They did the same thing in Nevada, I think. You know, offering people gifts and free.
Nevada? You mean Iowa?
No, in Iowa.
Well, I thought you said
Haley.
Nevada.
Well, I did, but the same thing happened in Nevada back in 2020. They
had
people offering people gift cards and gifts, buying their votes from them.
Yeah, they're trying to get the Democrats to come out and vote for her.
Yeah.
A lot of them switched in Iowa. She still came in third place. They ran out of stacks of, I call them changeover papers that you fill out the change from Democrat to Republican. They ran out, and they had to go copy more, make more. So a lot of people voted for her that were Democrats.
Well, in Trump's rallies, he is saying we're going to have voter ID and paper ballots. And that's what I think it's going to be in November. It's going to be hard to cheat.
I don't know. There's some states that haven't done a thing. They need to do is take all the dead people off the voter rolls. Or if you haven't voted in so many years, you need to be taken off the voter rolls.
Or if you don't live in the state, you know.
Yeah, or the city.
You cannot, yeah, right.
Your district.
Huge mess.
How many people move around and don't ever think about changing their voter registration?
That's right. It's true. Donnie, that was one of the first things that I did when Butch died 32 years ago, is I went down there and took his name. But I didn't do it when Daddy passed away. Back in 2016.
Yeah.
Daddy was a big voter. I mean, he voted. And I haven't done that. I guess I need to, though. But that was...
Well, I tell you what I'm doing Monday. I'm going to the voter's registration after I get them to straighten out the name on my driver's license. And I'm having them to remove the demographic classification by my voter's registration. They got black. And, you know, that brought to my attention when I was looking up the elected candidates there in Louisiana. And each and every one of them got three things, along with other information: gender, race, and political affiliation. And I say, why not? And see, that's what these judges use when they want to impose upon these states to create a black district. They go on the voters' rolls, and they go out and filter out all those names that have that designation by them. And they come up with some crazy formula that leads to a voting district line that looks like a wet noodle. I'm taking mine off, and I will advise others, no matter where you are, to check and see if that designation is by your name and remove it.
Yeah, I've seen that the legislators sent it up to the governor to sign in Louisiana. Might have already signed it.
Well, they got to have, it's supposed to go to the Louisiana House.
Oh, I thought it was already through there.
It's from what I understand.
Yeah, it's got to go through. I thought it already had.
But this stuff about creating these segregated voting districts based on skin color is a bunch of bullcrap. And then, like I was talking, when you do that, then they're going to come back and complain that the schools are all segregated. Then they'd be wanting to bus white kids from the county into the city to integrate the school district. And they go with it all over again, Donnie.
Yeah, here we go.
Well, I went to my convention of states meeting today, Bianchi.
Oh, I want to hear that.
Yeah.
There was about 25 of us down there in Reidsville, but so, you know, it was a good meeting. We just talked about stuff and everything. They got, what, 19 states right now on board, they said. And North Carolina is one vote away, they said, from getting on board.
Yeah, they said North Carolina, when I went, I had a video meeting and Wednesday, and they said that there were one vote away. It was North Carolina anyway. It was really close.
One vote away.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, we got, there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of, I brought up the concerns that people have that they talk about on the podcast show. I said, well, a lot of people talk about they're afraid that we're going to just wipe out the whole entire Constitution, stuff like that. You know, I get a lot of this, most of the speaking, actually, you know. So, but everybody pretty much agreed with me. But some, most of the people were awake in the meeting. They knew what's going on.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are afraid of, that they take a blowtorch to the Constitution.
Yeah.
Well, people need to look at, especially the mock convention that they have, and they see how they work. Any representative of the state go there with three proposals. If you try to get on the floor with any others, they run you away. And besides that, it takes three-quarters of the state to approve what comes out of it, those three proposals. So I don't think three-quarters of the state is going to approve eliminating the Second Amendment.
Doesn't the state constitution supersede the federal constitution?
I don't think so. I'm not sure about that. I don't think it does.
Need to look into that. Because the states are sovereign, and that's what the whole problem is. There's too much federal control over the states. The states should have, and that's what we talk about a lot, states should have a lot more control over their own business, and they don't. The federal government is into everything, everything.
It's because, I'll tell you, just because of the speed limits, just look at the speed limits all over the United States, about the same, 70 miles an hour, some places 75, depends if it's hilly, it's 75. Now, in order to do that, they gave the states millions of dollars. The states sold their rights to the federal government is what they did.
They did.
They sure as
hell
did.
Well, states have a compact. Well, no. Well, you see, they have a compact with the federal government. The Constitution is a compact, you know, or it's like a contract between all the states. So where they can't just say, I'm not going to be a part of you no more, you know. So it's but the state, according to the 10th Amendment, that the states are sovereign. But again, it's a tricky question. But it's just like, you know, to preserve the union, no one's going to want to break up the union. You know, I mean, that's what the problem was with Abraham Lincoln, the Civil War. So it's that question. If a state is going to become sovereign, how is it going to govern itself? It's not going to be able to do it independently on its own. We'll end up like Russia, broken up into different, you know, in 1991. You know, it'll be madness.
I don't know. I think the Convention of States will come in then. Come in very handy. All the states will be working with one another. We won't need federal permission, you know, to do things. I think all states working together, they could come up with their own speed limits, you know, what's best for each state.
Yeah. Well, the Supremacy Clause states that the Constitution and federal laws are, and the treaties are, the supreme law of the land, according to the Supreme Court and in history. So the federal government, you know, so that's what it says, and that's what we've been governed by pretty much. But we're guaranteed, the Constitution says, though, we're supposed to have a Republican form of government. In practice, we don't.
No.
So therefore, they're violating their agreement with us.
If Congress passed a law, an act that's unconstitutional, that's where the problem comes in at. But yet, during the 55-mile-an-hour national speed limit, you had some states say we weren't going to do it and keep your money. See, the thing with this money deal is when the federal government threatens to withhold money, well, then the state should say, well, we're not going to send you any money. You cannot withhold from us what we don't send you to withhold from us. And that's simple. I mean, that's, of course, it takes a lot of coordination, but that's what needs to be done.
Well,
you talk about the Civil War. I think that this, after everything is tried, states are going to draw their line around their borders. If they had done that during the Civil War instead of firing on Fort Sumner.
Bianchi, you just made an example of the feds. That's not what the federal government's job is, to nationalize a speed limit. The federal government's job and responsibility is the preservation of the basic rights of every citizen. That's what its job is. You know, not to be instituting speed limits. That's up to the states to do that.
That's right.
Yeah, but they don't. You're absolutely right, Joe Gibson. But they don't do that. It's just like the bureaucrats that tell you in the alcohol, firearm, and tobacco is saying that you can't have a shotgun less than 16 inches long. That's a bunch of bull crap. They make up those rules, and then you're prosecuted as if they're out of law. It's just a rule that's misapplied. But I understand what you're saying.
Well, actually, you know, with this thing with the Constitution and Supremacy Clause, like it says in Article 6, and Article 6 says, this Constitution and the laws of the United States shall be made in pursuance thereof, meaning laws that are consonant and consistent with the Constitution. That's what it means. So whatever law of the United States made has to be consistent with the Constitution's intent. And all treaties made shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. Now, what does this mean? Neither the states nor the federal government are supreme. The Constitution is supreme. Now, the states are supreme in most things. The federal government is supposed to be supreme in a few things enumerated in Article 1, Section 8, and the subsequent amendments to the Article 1 of the Constitution and the subsequent amendments of the Constitution. That's where you got to get things clear. Because the states are supreme in most things, but not all things, according to the Constitution. And the federal government is supreme in a few things. That's where people get kind of wrapped around the axe.
Yeah, but what are those things, Sarge? What are those things? What are those things?
You got to keep that in mind. It's the Constitution that is supreme. Where is the power granted by the Constitution? To what entity of government? And that's what you got to look for. Now,
okay, Sarge. What things? Immigration law, bankruptcy law, Social Security law, civil rights law, patent and copyright laws, federal and criminal laws,
money.
Yeah.
Minting money,
the states are criminal matters and, you know, real estate.
That's why you got to look to the Constitution to see what it is. You got to look to the subsequent amendments and to the original Constitution without the Bill of Rights or the other 17 amendments added after the Bill of Rights. You look through all of that and you will see, or you can reasonably at least infer what the Constitution intends who to be supreme in.
Sarge, I'll be honest with you. I just don't see how we're going to fix the hole that we're in right now without backing up and going all the way back.
Yeah, because we got sophists. The problem isn't the Constitution. The problem is the sophists who, quote, interpret, unquote, the Constitution. That's the problem, not the Constitution. It's the sophists who want to attain a result. The Constitution's in their way. So they come up with words like, right to privacy, and they get around the Constitution. Right now, the abortion is now back to what the Constitution intended to be, each state deciding through its legislature what this medical procedure, how it will be regulated in their state. That's what the Constitution said for Roe versus Wade. That's where we are now. So,
you know,
we got to get rid of the sophists. We're trying to obtain a result by misapplying and misinterpreting the Constitution.
You can look down the line and see many cases where the courts have went wrong. Lovins versus Virginia, which said that blacks and whites have a right from the federal level to marry. Well, that should have been left up to the states. It always had been. It was always a church proclamation. It's not saying that. I mean, that's just the way it was. Abortion is
well,
no one, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah, the preemption doctrine. It's, for instance, this is the example. No state law may violate citizens' rights that are enshrined in the U.S. Constitution. If a state passes such a law, the judiciary is allowed to overturn it for being unconstitutional. However, if a state law affords a person more rights than federal law, the state law is legally presumed to prevail, albeit it says only within that state. At the same time, if a state imposes more responsibility on its residents than the federal law, the state law prevails if the state and federal laws are in explicit conflict. The federal law prevails. These cases of conflict are, there's many of them, like marijuana, legalizing marijuana, stuff like that, where it's in conflict. So it's really up to the states, but, you know.
And don't forget, the federal constitution imposes the floor below which no entity of government can go beyond. But the states are free to grant their citizens more liberty, more freedom than the Constitution minimally requires. They can put more restrictions on the right, say, of the police to search, arrest, or anything else. That's up to each state. They can do it. But they just can't go below a certain threshold. Like
hey,
I said,
the Constitution
is supreme. That's the main thing I'm trying to say. The Constitution is supreme. Once you accept the idea that the Constitution is supreme, then you look to that document to see who was granted the authority to do what, whether it's the state or whether it's the federal government.
Here's another thing, too. If a state say we're not going to do it, then what's going to happen to them? There's been many cases, like I just demonstrated with the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. They say we're not going to do it. We think it's unconstitutional. The courts are not supposed to make laws.
Look what Governor Abbott's doing. He's setting up a Port Simpson situation right now. I mean, he's saying, look, you're not protecting us against invasion. The Constitution demands that you protect us from invasion. So I'm invoking Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution to protect my state. I can't delay any longer. I have to take action. It's imminent threat to my state.
American citizens, the average person has been indoctrinated and given that respect to the federal government, which what you're doing is giving up your pertinent rights, because at the bottom of every state's legislature is the people. Why are you giving up those rights to the federal government? Abbott is doing the right thing. Every state has a right to protect its own borders.
And I want to add one thing about supremacy. The people are always supreme over just about everything. Why? Because as you point out, and we're pointing out here regularly, Bianchi and others, we got a convention of state. The people can get together and completely redo the Constitution. I'm not saying that's what they want to do this time, but they could. That means the people ultimately are the supreme power. In the ultimate analysis, not in every little dot and chittle, day-to-day, whatever. I'm going to say, well, fourth laws and immigration by myself, or I'm going to take up the national defense by myself. No, not in that respect. But in the ultimate success, in being able to transform the government, the people are ultimately supreme.
And no treaty can outdo a constitution, because treaties are allowed to exist by way of the Constitution. If we consider that, it's like saying this: a child gave birth to his mama. I don't think that's possible.
Yeah. So, you know, look, Joe, I know you despair regularly of ever restoring the constitutional structure to what it's intended to be. But there's always been conflicts over what the Constitution means. What I think is different today is this living, breathing, the idea of a living, breathing constitution, that it adapts to the time, which is just not true. It adapts to whenever it is amended. That's when it adapts. It's fixed. It's like poker rules, you know, like a full house beats everything else. I mean, you don't say, well, I got living rules today. We want a royal flush to be better or two of a kind. I mean, the rules are fixed and immutable. Yeah, they can change them.
You can't overlook history. You just can't skip history and say, we start here. You just can't erase the time period when the seats were abandoned in the 39th Congress when they walked out. They were never reconvened. So, therefore, there's a de facto corporation that's been working ever since. So everything that they've done ever since is null and void. It's on if you're going to obey the law, which is the Constitution. If not, we're just corporate actors. We're acting. We're just acting this stuff out. You know, a statue. I'm not a statue. I'm a man. That's what I tell them. So these statues, when they codified the laws, they corporatized everything. These statues are impossible. First of all, lawyers write them, and lawyers aren't swearing oaths to the bar, so they can't be swearing an oath to the Constitution. Where's their oath at? That's why they're not supposed to be in public office to begin with. So we're all got it ass backwards since the Civil War, and we've been just digging ourselves deeper, and bankrupting ourselves deeper until, but now we can't fix it. Now we don't know what to do.
Well, I think we know what to do. The question is, how hard is it going to be to do it? I think we know what to do.
It's going to be very hard because people just don't get it, even
yeah,
if
that's
when you get
the problem.
It.
Why we know what to do, the problem is getting people to agree with us and to come along and do it as we've done to restore the constitutional balance.
Well, you said the magic words. It's the people. And I'm skeptical that people across the nation is going to move, but I'm very logical that people within a state can move to straighten things out. When the issue has been brought forth, according to the Federal Registry at the time, that there was not enough yay votes to pass the 13th and 14th Amendment. Well, when that was brought to the courts, once again, the court said, well, that's something that Congress has to straighten out. So who is Congress? Congress is the state legislatures, who is the people. And that's where it needs to be straightened out. If you got a dumb populace, you're going to have dumb results. Thus far, we are arguing over these things because we're being affected because people have been too dumb to carry out their civic responsibilities.
Yeah.
I think there's another great awakening. I think there's been two great awakenings in the United States just before the revolution, shortly after the revolution. Perhaps there'll be a new great awakening, and this will be the fourth. I can't remember which. There's either been two or three great awakenings. I think more and more people are starting to see that there's a swamp out there, and it's a deep state. And that deep state has seized control of much of the apparatus of constitutional governance. And it's not governing constitutionally. And as more and more people become aware of this, maybe the right thing have at least a chance of being done. We can only hope for it and continue to work for it back.
According to them today, in the meeting, they said George Soros is starting to come after North Carolina now. So I guess he's going to start dumping money into North Carolina. So it's a slow process. So they know what they're doing, but we don't know what we're doing to fight back. That's the problem. We're still trying to figure out a way how to fight back, and we need to knock it off and hurry up and get going here. We need, Trump gets in there. Yeah, I need this Governor Mark Robinson in there. I need to get elected here. Then we get all these people that have been on the same page. We can fix things. We got too many people in different ways of thinking that just it ain't gonna work.
Well, I think we're going to have to accommodate people with different ways of thinking because that's just the way things are always going to be. People are always going to have different ways of thinking. I mean, you remember the Federalist Papers had the Anti-Federalist Papers right there at the very beginning, and both sides had persuasive arguments with regard to what we have to find a way to do is to reconcile all those things provided the people are of goodwill and not just trying to arbitrarily seize power. I think our problem is not necessarily people who don't agree with us exactly. It's with people who want arbitrary and capricious control over our lives for the sake of power, for power's sake. Those people are the ones that are the real danger.
Yeah.
And we just got to set back people are not always going to agree with us. I mean, that's been the nature of things ever since the country was founded. Look at the issue of slavery, for God's sake. They didn't get that right ever until they had to have a big, bloody war in our history over it. And from the very beginning, they were fighting like cats and dogs over that one. From the very beginning, it was never an easy acceptance of slavery. From the very beginning, the hottest issue at the Constitutional Convention was the issue of slavery. despite that, they still managed to form a nation because that was their first priority, not ending slavery, but forming a nation, a unified colony. And that's what they did. They effectuated that. You know, they had the Northwest Ordinance. Then they had the Missouri Compromise of 1833. Then they had the other compromises. And, you know, in the long run, it didn't work because I guess the issue was too fundamental to not be settled by something cataclysmic like war between states. But still, for the most part, the people who were involved in it didn't necessarily want to seize power over one side or the other. They just wanted their viewpoint to prevail. Nowadays, we've got people out here who are trying to find their way around the Constitution simply for power's sake and to exercise it in an arbitrary and capricious manner over each and every one of us. And those are the ones I think that are the biggest danger of all.
Yeah, well, what did they do with me? They tried using the law against me. And the law is the law. You got to obey the law. You know, and they tried not, and they should have never been allowed to attempt to disobey the law. That was wrong. I should never have been having to argue against the law. You know, the law was the law. You got to obey it.
Well, you know, you guys were talking about the cold a little while earlier. And I know, you know, it's very cold down here in Georgia right now. It's really cold. I mean, it's below freezing. If you ever tell anybody, make sure you got your pesticide, you got your water running so your pipes don't freeze. And I just noticed an article today that the Fulton County auditors are demanding answers from Fannie Willis with regard to her relationship with Nathan Wade, how she's been dispersing funds, and why she didn't go to the Fulton County board to get the authority to appoint him a special prosecutor in the first place. So I'm wondering, in view of this cold snap in Atlanta, does anybody want to take money on the odds of Fannie Willis going to Subway at 2 a.m. in the morning to get a sandwich? Who wants to take a bet on that? Anybody out there? I'm taking odds.
No,
anybody?
Is she going to be carrying a glass? Is she
going to
be carrying a glass of
chloride? How about you, Bianchi? How about you, Cynthia? What do you say? You want to take? You want to kick in on that?
She gonna be carrying a glass of Clorox bleach?
Yeah, you know, she might need to go shopping for some bleach, and you might just happen to have it on her. They got lots of Subways in Atlanta.
Well, you know, you think about it. Listen to what Joe Gibson say. They got ways of using words in order to stir up the population. Yeah, he was a former felon. Yeah, he was robbing people.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. These people are. They're ruthless, man.
I hope that they thump old Fannie Willis there, but not enough to have her stop her case against Trump. I want that case to go forward because I want Trump to bring in the evidence that was never allowed to be brought to court.
Yep. I'm kind of thinking that. But here's the problem with it. It depends upon a judge who is willing to allow the evidence to be admitted. We've seen how obstructive these judges to Donald Trump plead in this case. Now, the fix is in. The veteran introducing such evidence, well, he's got to do it in another venue. But it's kind of hard to ignore it when it's part of a trial.
Well,
see, the news media can ignore his complaint when he's just doing it as part of a general campaign. But when it's put in a criminal trial with an adversarial proceeding, everybody's under oath, and you get two sides examining and cross-examining, it's really kind of difficult to ignore it.
Well, I cannot see how the judge could exclude exculpatory evidence for a man asking to have so many votes found because, goddamn, the other side sure found a hell of a lot of votes in those few hours that they had that big old water leak, you know?
Yeah, he believed there was a lot of fraud. Remember, the basis of Fannie Willis' case is he's engaging in a RICO fraud by deception because he didn't believe the election was stolen. That's one of the foundational planks of her case against Trump. The election was stolen. Now, if you could point, like you said, what could be more exculpatory than to give objective, corroborative, official evidence that would establish a belief, even if it's wrong, that the election was stolen? I can't think of anything more exculpatory than that. But like I said, the problem with that for them is it will exonerate him. The object of this thing is to defeat him, to place him, marginalize him, to place him in doubt. Because I don't think any of this could survive appeal, but they're figuring the appeals won't come until after the election. And they'll have obtained the result, keeping him out of office. So, yeah. I think the fix is in on this. I swear to God, it's like the election. I think they're doing everything they can to rig it. Evidence and the rules of evidence and court procedure, be damned. If that was true, we wouldn't have to face any of these charges in the first damn place. I mean, a fake election, there is no such thing unless you forge official signatures and official seals, and then present yourself as having been certified to that effect. If you just say you're an alternate slate of electors awaiting an appeal that will be confirmed, you have done no wrong. It's been done several times before in American history. But they let her get away with charging them with putting forth a fake slate of electors. They didn't do it in 1876. They didn't do it in 1960. They didn't do it any other time people did it. All of a sudden, it's a felony. It almost amounts to an insurrection by itself. And then we're not following any of the normal procedures for any of this with regard to Trump. He is the exception. He is Hitler. He is a threat to democracy. The rules don't apply to him, according to these people.
Yep, he's a Nazi.
There you go. And he's really Hitler. Why? Everything is justified to stop him.
Yep.
Like I said, I've never seen anything like this. I mean, can you name one criminal in the history of the United States with this many charges against him in this many different jurisdictions at one time? I can't. They're telling me that Donald Trump is the worst criminal in the history of the United States for questioning an election, for getting loans on property that was wildly undervalued when he asked for the loan, for taking documents out of the presidency, out of Washington, D.C., while he was still president, with the full authority to declassify them, and for a crazy story cooked up by some wild-eyed, fool-ass woman with no evidence whatsoever that he sexually assaulted her. To say nothing all of these things. I've never seen anything like it. This doesn't have anything. We need to point out procedures, but none of this has anything to do with the rules and the procedures. It's to destroy Donald Trump's chances of becoming the 47th president of the United States. They're not looking at any goal beyond that. They probably don't even care if he wins all his appeals, if they can short-circuit his election with this bullshit.
Well, you think process with the challenges that were supposed to have been brought on January the 6th were anything but a show. Wait until Trump does win the election and they get ready to count the electoral votes. Just wait for that fucking show.
This is what I expect them to try to do. I expect them to try to kidnap some of the electors and put a gun in their head off camera and tell them, we're putting your vote on camera. Now, you better say the right thing. We're going to put a bullet in your head right now, right then. I wouldn't put anything past them.
Nope.
I mean it. I'm not kidding. Because everything we're seeing thus far is unprecedented. I mean, we've been looking at this for such a long period of time, that we, I think a lot of us started looking at as almost normal. This is grotesque.
This is where we get into the case that congressmen, U.S. senators should be paid by the states that they represent. And that money should be deposited in a bank account that exists within the state. Therefore, then you got some transparency. But like Joe was talking about, Soros working through his son, who is a United States citizen, because he can't do it directly, that money is being slung around like a mop full of shit. And that's what you have. We got to be willing to make these drastic changes in order to change the drastic incidents that we're living under today. It's totally ridiculous, like you say. I agree. But this is one of the last few straws that can be drawn. Then states is going to do and should do what Abbott is doing, draw a line around their borders. I'm not going to agree to that. I'm not going to agree to respecting two men that's married. I don't want that teaching my kids, and they're not going to teach my kids.
That's right.
How about add a dick to me or subtract a dick from me? I mean, these are the same people who say a kid got to be 18 to get a tattoo, but you don't have to tell his parents you want to cut his dick off. Crazy. And they tell us we're crazy because, I don't know, look at all the extremists who showed up in Washington, D.C. the other day saying that they're really concerned about 3,000 babies getting butchered in the womb every day. They got a crazy, radical, nutcase extremist who would protest a thing like that.
Well, it goes to show you how ridiculous it is, although I'm not a consumer of it. In order for you to be able to watch porn on your internet, you got to prove you're 21. But the people acting in the porn, the people that's acting in the porn only has to be 18.
And by the way, these are the same people who say that an adult, particularly younger than 25, shouldn't be held responsible for any crimes because their frontal lobes are not fully developed. And now they're trying to lower the voting age to 16. The same people don't want to hold them responsible because their prefrontal cortex is not fully developed before 25, so they're not completely responsible for any crime they commit. But at the same time, they want the voting age not just be 18, but 16. The same people say the same thing. They are capable of living with two completely contradictory thoughts in their head at the same time, and saying both are true. Only delusional fanatics can do that. And that's what a lot of these progressives are.
They make up and they do what they want. I mean, they just said they're nuts. They're nuts.
And we keep saying examples every day. You know, I think too many of us are starting to set these mentally ill people alone. I cannot think of anything more patently evidentiary of mental illness and transgenderism. Now, I'll agree there's a spectrum of it. I'm not saying that everybody's transgender is as crazy as every other transgender. There's a spectrum from outright insane to just disturbed. But it is a sign of mental illness when you cannot reconcile normal, healthy parts of your body with your mental state. That is a clear sign of a mental illness. I mean, once the Churchill admitted he had depression, he didn't try to say it was normal. He fought against it. He tried to correct it. He painted. He did all these things that would help him overcome his depression because he knew he would be more effective if he did. Now we are extolling mental illness as desirable. Difference now. Man, you get canceled if you tell the truth.
Disinformation. That's what they call it. That's their number one thing in Davos, you know, is free speech. even ahead of global warming.
Remember, Nikki Haley is the one that said you ought to be registered before you can post on the internet. Can you imagine that? Man, this woman is an authoritarian to our heart. She has the natural instincts of an authoritarian.
She's not even using her real name. It's, her name isn't Nikki.
No, that is her name, but it's her middle name, though. And
no.
It's on her birth certificate. No, it is on her birth certificate. It's Nimrata is her first name. Nimrata is her first name. Her middle name is Nikki. Her middle name is Nikki. But she wants to use Nikki because it sounds more American than Nimrata.
Well, of course it does.
Yeah, but it is a name. It is an actual official legal name, so I can't deny that. It is on a birth certificate. Just that she prefers to use that to Nimrata.
There's a news show that had
Haley's her marriage name, her married name.
Yeah, Haley's a married name. That's right. Ramwada is her last name. Her Indian last name is Ramwada. Haley is her married name.
I was thinking that was her middle name.
No, her middle name is Nikki. It is Nikki. It is N-I-K-K-I. It really is.
And
but she's deceptive.
By his
she's
middle name
she's
too.
Deceptive by telling the truth.
His name is Bill, and it's his middle name. Her husband.
Yeah, but she's being deceptive by telling the truth, literally. I mean, we know what the game is. But I'm not going to say that's not her name, because it is. It really is her name.
Well, okay, I believe you. I believe you. I thought I had something. Damn it.
Well,
here's what you need to know. She's not a natural born citizen under Article 2. She's not eligible to run. I don't care nobody's going to do anything about it. I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to keep saying it. So someday, somewhere, some Article 3 court takes the case up to give us a final word on it instead of, goddammit, ignoring it. Like it doesn't matter.
Thank you, Sarge.
I
understand the game that, you know, Obama apparently has settled the issue for all time. They let that son of a bitch have 2 terms as president. Now they didn't put Kamala Harris in there as vice president. So I guess you say, that ship has sailed. No, it ain't. Not doing Article 3 hears it one way or the other.
Amen.
I'll live with the results if it looks like it's honestly derived that. Whatever the results are.
Sarge, when people ask me, what do you think about Nikki Haley? I tell them, I say, I don't even think about her because she's not even qualified to run as president. So that's my answer. I don't think about her, and I don't even care about listening to what she says.
Well, I prefer to use the word eligible because on paper, she's got the qualifications you look for in a president. After all, she's the governor of a major state. She was ambassador of the United Nations. Those kind of things are the paper qualifications you say, okay, those are basic things you say, okay, I might consider. I think she's also a member of Congress, too. Yeah. So, I mean, she's got the paper qualifications. I mean, her temperament and her philosophy, though, is screwed up, so I don't want to consider her as being qualified. But eligibility is a constitutional matter. It's not arguable. If you don't meet those 3 criteria, you're not eligible, period, no matter how worthy or smart you are. I love Ted Cruz and most of the things he says. He ain't eligible.
Right.
He can never be eligible.
Never.
He wasn't even born. He wasn't even a 14th Amendment citizen. He's a citizen by virtue of the Immigration and Naturalization Act because he was born in Canada to an American citizen mother.
And his father was Cuban.
Father's Cuban. And he wasn't even born in the United States. If his mother had not been an American citizen, he wouldn't even be a citizen.
Don't forget, he knew.
He wasn't even born in the country.
His daddy knew Oswald. And let's not forget that.
Well, I'm not going to hold that against him. I'm guilt by association.
I'm saying, though, that, you know. Crazy.
I was really disappointed in him. When he was evasive on the issue, when he asked about it, instead of saying, well, even if he had said, well, I'll leave that to the courts or whoever to decide, at least I would say he answered. But, you know, he just was evasive. We used it out because he's smart enough to know he ain't eligible. He knows enough about the Constitution to know he's not eligible.
Yeah, but didn't he have dual citizenship for a long time, Canadian and American?
under citizens. Look, he said he did. In fact, he made a big deal. Now, listen to this. He himself made a big deal out of going to the Canadian consulate and renouncing his Canadian citizenship. How in the hell can you be eligible under Article 2 when you got another citizenship you got to renounce? Would somebody riddle me that, please? Barack Obama did the same thing. Barack Obama said, well, I meant about when he was asked about the fact he was born a British subject, he said, but it expired. Under the existing law, if he didn't go back to renew it as an adult, that citizenship would expire. That does not change the fact that he was born a British subject. Kind of like it does, people say it all shit like it doesn't matter. I'm fully acquainted with all of these variables in the law. Like I said, well, it expired because he didn't renew it when he was 21. It doesn't change the fact he was born a British subject. It doesn't change the fact that Ted Cruz was born a Canadian citizen. He had to go renounce it. What natural born citizen got to renounce another citizenship? I mean, he just defies reason. But here we are.
I'm wondering if I'm eligible. If I was born in Alabama.
You saying that's another country?
Yeah, goddamn right. It's like two different worlds. I love Alabama.
I know California is a different nation. I think anybody born in California is suspect.
You leave Michigan and get down to Alabama. Well, I don't know how it is now. It's not too nice like it used to be. Yeah. You just have to keep waving out the window. Everybody wave at you.
I mean, you can't tell me that California is part of the United States anymore. You just can't.
No. They've lost billions and billions of dollars in tax revenue. Leslie wants me to play this one spot for the president of Heritage Foundation speaks. It's only for about 4 minutes. And we got some new people here, so they can hear it for the first time.
Protecting liberal democracy.
Hold on for a minute here, guys.
If you have the clip, just play it. Oh, fantastic. Just go ahead and play the clip.
It's laughable that you would, or anyone would, describe Davos as protecting liberal democracy.
Standing up for it.
It's equally laughable to use the word dictatorship at Davos and aim that at President Trump. In fact, I think that's absurd. But I'm going to step aside from that constructive criticism and instead answer your question.
Yep.
And I'm going to be substantive here. President Trump, if he's the next president, for that matter, I think whoever the next conservative president is going to take on the power of the elites, which I've mentioned earlier. But the thing that I want to drive home here, the very reason that I'm here at Davos, is to explain to many people in this room and who are watching, with all due respect, nothing personal, but that you're part of the problem. Political elites tell the average people on three or four or five issues that the reality is X, when in fact reality is Y. Take immigration. Elites tell us that open borders and even illegal immigration are okay. The average person tells us in the United States that both rob them of the American way of life. They're right. President Trump will take that on behalf of the average American.
Wow.
Elites also tell us that public safety isn't a problem in big American cities. Just travel to New York or Washington or Dallas, Texas. The average person will tell you that the lack of public safety damages not just the American way of life, but their life. President Trump will take that on. Thirdly, I guess the favorite at the World Economic Forum is climate change. Elites tell us that we have this existential crisis with so-called climate change, so much so that climate alarmism is probably the greatest cause for mental health crisis in the world. The solutions the average person know based on climate change are far worse and more harmful and cost more human lives, especially in Europe during the time that you need heating, than do the problems and the problems themselves. Fourth, two more here, Robin. Fourth, China. The number one adversary, not just to the United States, but to free people on planet Earth. Not only do we at Davos not say that? We give the Chinese Communist Party a platform. Count on President Trump ending that nonsense. Mm. And fifth, as we sit here, another supranational organization, the World Health Organization, is discussing foisting gender ideology upon the global South. These are practices that are under review, if not being rejected, by countries in Northern Europe. The new president, especially if it's President Trump, will, as you like to say, trust the science. Mm-hmm. He will understand the basic biological reality of manhood and womanhood. And do you know why?
Wow. He is so
not because of retribution,
you know,
not because
no.
he's a dictator,
fantastic.
But because he has the power of the American people behind him. And it's connected to Senator Portman's excellent point that in addition to needing a vigorous executive, we look forward to having the popular will inform both the House and Senate in 2025 to pass laws on all of those issues and
you can
many
pause
others.
It right there. So, Glenn, I got a question for you. So, question for you is, why would World Economic Forum have him
there
give him
more,
the platform and Milei to say what they
so
said?
So there are more elections this year than any other time in world history, okay? It's happening all over the world.
Is it like 60?
No, it's 42.
42.
42% of people will be voting.
Voting
yeah.
this
oh,
year.
Gotcha.
Largest Christian country, largest Muslim countries this
wow.
year.
Wow. Yeah. So it's happening unlike ever before. It's falling apart on them, okay? People are starting to wake up all over the world, and it's falling apart. They need to take some of that stink off of them. And I think by having them and being invited to go speak, you look like, well, no, now wait a minute, you're kind of reasonable. Okay. There were maybe six people that because he gave a speech, there were maybe six people that clapped occasionally. Uh-huh. Same thing with Javier. Just nobody is supporting in that room. Nobody is supporting that, but they look open to at least listening to common sense. And they're doing it at the same time they've taken global warming off number one, war, not number one threat, economics, not number one. Their number one is mis and disinformation.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're saying, I mean, one of them said it, I think yesterday, that we control the science. We control the facts. That's ours. Wow, how arrogant is that?
Yeah.
Okay. They haven't changed at all, but they're changing faces. Just like, and I'd love to get your opinion on this. I saw a story.
Okay, we don't have to go any farther. There you go, Leslie. Thank you.
Donnie.
You. Yes.
Look, Donnie, look, there's a guy in he's a climate watchdog in Great Britain. The guy's name is Chris Llewellyn Smith. Now, he led a Royal Society study on future energy supply, okay? This guy was in charge of it. And he said that a bunch of the climate change committee's recommendations relied on insufficient data. Now, this is the chief saying this now. And he said the reason it's insufficient is because they only looked at 1 year of data showing the number of windy days in a year when it made pronouncements on the extent to which United Kingdom could rely on wind and solar farms to meet net zero. What they were saying is that that this report concluded that they needed, now get this now, this ain't me saying this, this is what this study group said, the Royal Climate Change Committee, Royal Society Climate Change Committee. They needed a vast network, their words, not mine, vast network of hydrogen caves to guard against the risk of blackouts under the shift of wind and solar generation, because they said it was a volatile means that depends on the wind and sun to produce energy. And in other words, the report warned of the risks that you face when you rely on an intermittent weather-dependent energy source without sufficient backup. And that backup is, again, a vast network of hydrogen-filled caves. Hey, guys, what could possibly go wrong, huh? God, these people, I swear to God, the more I read about them and their own pronouncement, not us ridiculing it, because we got a lot of ridicule, you know? Well, you know, because, look,
I wish, what's the name was here? What's the brother's name was the engineer? Gus Gunslinger? Is it Gunslinger?
Gunslinger.
Anyway,
he would
he would tell you. One of the lessons they learned from liquid fuel rocket engineering is that hydrogen can pass through many containers because of its nature. Precious state, it takes up a lot of space. And it can leak out easily. Easily. And, you know, and it's like they're going to put all the stuff in these caves with the possibility of a vast number of explosions. These people are just starting to, they're in their fanaticism, in their messianic vision to slave the world and to create a vast new source of revenue for their sponsors. They're ignoring all of the new problems they're creating with these alternative forms of energy. It is truly madness. Madness.
Mm.
Sometimes I look at what they say, the contradictory things they say. I say to myself, where do these people come from? Is money that corruptive? A lot of people have devoted their lives to science. Many of them are really very competent, astute, and learned in scientific principles, but they've given all of it up to worship and genuflect at the great God of government grants and private money. It's crazy.
It is.
Well, you know, I can remember back in my growing up days, but Sarge, you probably do remember this too. But, you know, climate change, you know, back in the days that I was there, excuse me, I had a phone call coming in and it blew up in my ear. Anyway, climate change back in the days when I was growing up, we always just called it seasons.
I kind of remember being taught that in high school. Before. Elementary school, probably. There were four seasons, you know, and they kind of mirrored the distance that a particular locale is from the sun as the earth rotates around the sun. You know what I mean? I know it's crazy, but that's what they told me.
Yeah, that's what I was taught.
Vast network of caves filled with hydrogen. I mean, what could possibly go wrong? All that contained hydrogen in contained spaces, maybe with potential leaks that occur naturally.
Crazy. Has anybody, you know, I've been asking, why isn't the FBI talking about the pipe bombs? Well, there's a tape that somebody's leaked out, and it shows this pipe bomb. It's at the DNC, and the police, you know, standing there, and another officer goes up to one and says, you know, I found a pipe bomb over here. Nobody panics. One guy walks, a police officer walks over there and, gives a thumbs up and walks a little bit. And there's two kids, you know, across the street. Nobody gets them out of the way. People are walking. Car come by.
And nobody's trying to establish a perimeter or anything?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Well, it's like they all knew it was a setup. There was a cop sitting there on a bench, and the wind was blowing, and the coffee cup had just been there. So if they would have grabbed that, they probably could have got some fingerprints, maybe. Who knows? And the whole thing was a FBI setup. And John Posobiec, he showed pipe bombs that the FBI used as dummies to practice on. And boy, it sure did look like the same damn kind. Same thing. And it looked like the FBI pipe bombs. And that's you know, Kamala Harris was at the DNC. And you've seen the Metro Police talking to the Secret Service. And they didn't panic. They didn't move. They just left their vehicle right there. So the whole thing was just a scam. No wonder nobody's talking about it. So I won't bring it up again. It's just a freaking bunch of BS.
Everything by January.
This and disinformation.
Yeah.
The largest global purveyor of fake information is the United States government at this point. I don't trust a damn thing they say, and you shouldn't. Let me give you this story. This broke yesterday from The Blaze. Blaze Media can now reveal that the person who discovered the pipe bomb at the Democratic National Committee headquarters in Washington, D.C. on January 6th was a United States Capitol Police plainclothes officer. Now, let me refresh you on this. There were two pipe bombs that were found on January 6th. The FBI, with all of their resources, all of the surveillance video, cannot find who planted those bombs. Luckily, one was found by a passerby, the first one, at the RNC headquarters. Some woman apparently ran in and said, I think there might be a pipe bomb in the alley. And they were like, oh, we've got to call the police. The police came and said, yes, it's a pipe bomb. But it didn't go off. In fact, the details that we have show that it probably wasn't really designed to go off. But it had like that kitchen timer. Then, just a few minutes later, another passerby was walking by a park bench right in front of the DNC headquarters, and they spotted what they thought was a pipe bomb. And so they immediately ran in and said, hey, I think I found a pipe bomb, and the Secret Service freaked out. They went out, and then they gather that pipe bomb. They're like, look, John, it is a pipe bomb. And the other guy was like, Tom, that's crazy. I wonder who put that there. Should we get the vice president out? No, let's leave her inside. Hey, so far I've got quite a tale, I'm telling you. Now, let me add something else. All of the text traffic and all of the diary, if you will, that the Secret Service keeps on January 6th, it was all accidentally deleted. Damn it. Did I push delete? I didn't mean to do that. I deleted all of it? Ah, crap. So they can't tell us exactly what happened. They can't tell us exactly why Kamala Harris left. She was at the Capitol waiting for the vote on the presidency to finalize that. She was supposed to be there. Remember, she's a member of the Senate, too. She's the tiebreaker. But she was suddenly called away, and nobody can recall why. And she had to go to the DNC headquarters. Why? We don't know. Probably something very important, though. And so the Secret Service rushed her in, got her in. They did a check of the whole area. They didn't find a pipe bomb. But this passerby, who just as a passerby, he found a pipe bomb. Secret Service couldn't. But the passerby found it because it was sitting right there in a way that it looked like it was meant to be discovered. Well, we've tried to find out who this guy is, this passerby, this innocent guy who had a sharp eagle eye and found that sitting on the sidewalk right in front of the park bench. All by himself, found out who he was. He was a D.C. Metro police officer. Now, why wouldn't the D.C. Or Capitol police officer, why wouldn't everyone want you to know that it was a police officer that found that instead of just a passerby? It would lend more credibility, wouldn't it, Stu? It wasn't just some old lady that's like, I think that's a pipe bomb. It's got a timer on it. No, no, no. This is a DC cop.
Right. You can see a couple of officers sitting there. Some random person comes up, maybe not appearing credible. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a bomb over there. Oh, okay. All right. Thanks, sir. Appreciate mm-hmm. that. But if it's a DC, or it was Capitol Police officer, right? Capitol Police officer, plain clothes.
Yep.
You'd think, okay, well, this person's very credible. We better get the vice president out of here immediately.
Right. Now, here's what happened. We now know that the United States Capitol Police plainclothes officer walked by, just happened to look down there on the sidewalk, and there was the pipe bomb. So he walked a full 20 feet to the SUV of the Secret Service. And he knocked on the passenger window and then talked to him for a while, and then casually walked around to the driver's side, and they rolled it down, and they talked some more. And what he said was, hey, right over there, about 20 feet from where we're sitting, I found a pipe bomb. Now, Secret Service, what do? Of course, they jump out. They call the bomb squad. They get one of those little robot things to pick it up so it doesn't go off and kill somebody. And they get the first thing they do is they get Kamala Harris away from the area. It's 20 feet away from her motorcade. Whoa, what a close call that was. Except that's not what they did. They left Kamala Harris in the building. And, you know, before they took a look at that pipe bomb, they finished their lunch in the car.
I mean,
huh? What about that? Oh, my God. And I've been worried about that. Why nobody was talking about that. Damn.
You know the reason why come the people at the Easter egg hunt that plant the eggs are not allowed to participate in the Easter egg hunt?
No.
Because they know where all the eggs are.
Good one. Yeah, you're right. Well, they weren't concerned, I can tell you that. Two kids crossed the street. Another guy jogged by, crossed the street. Car went by. And they stayed in their vehicle for a while.
Well, have you heard about the World Economic Forum member who says that that called on global elites to push for farming to be labeled a serious crime that could be equal, fishing and farming could be considered equal to genocide? I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. We need to call the WEF to keep the acronym, but you change the middle initial. It should be the World Enslavement Forum. You know, I mean, these people are like nothing I've ever seen. The pronouncements that come out of that place are like the ravens of somebody in a psycho ward.
Oh, my God.
Cinnamon, I mean, the woman who said to stop ecocide now, she was speaking at the summit. And she said, her name is Jojo Mitta.
Oh, there
she's
you go.
She's Swiss. And she said that farming, fishing and farming should be considered equal to genocide. She said fishing and farming for food should be a serious crime while arguing that it's immoral to make money from the industry of fishing and farming. This is a quote from this crazy bitch. We have this cultural, very ingrained habit of not taking damage to nature as seriously as we take damage to people or property. She said that fishing farming are mass damage and destruction of nature. She then demanded that these should be legally recognized as a serious crime. And this is another quote from this crazy motherfucker. With human rights, mass murder and genocide are serious crimes, but there is no equivalent in the environmental space. Unlike an international crime like genocide that involves specific intent, with ecocide, what we see is that people are trying to do is make money, it's farm, it's fish, and what's missing is an awareness of the side effects and collateral damage that happens. Man, we need to have a raid on that motherfucker and shut it down. We need to send all the special operators there are to corral these lunatics up and put them in straitjackets.
God, yeah.
They're getting more and more influence every year with people like John Kerry and Hillary Clinton and all the Democrat Party black leadership.
Yeah.
And too many Republicans.
That ain't half the story. I heard what they're going to require fishermen to have some technology device that would warn
a special specimen of turtle that's on the endangered list that their ears, only their ears can detect to get the hell out of the way. Here come the fishermen.
Oh, my goodness.
There's
too many of us living in a world. They get rid of farming and all this other stuff like they're working on in Germany and the net. So these farmers are starting to wake up. They're targeted. They're being targeted. There's too many people. They can induce famines. That can get rid of tens of millions of people at a time. I mean, Mao did it. Stalin did it. Pol Pot did it. All these dictators tried to find ways to induce famine when they want to either get their population to heal or get rid of a large part of the trouble from the group of them, like Stalin did to the Ukrainians when he introduced Holodomor. I mean, and I think the World Economic Forum glommed onto it and said, yeah, we can do that too. All we gotta do is say they're messing with Mother Gaia, Mother Nature. Who's gonna be arguing against trying to save Mother Nature? You gotta kill a few hundred million people. What's the problem?
Well, I also heard a guy that from there saying we have to quit farming rice because the rice paddies and all. The way they do it, you know, with flooding the fields and killing off all the weeds by flooding them and drowning them and stuff, and then the weeds decaying, is the largest source of methane in the world. You know.
God.
You know, and it, to me, I'd say, wow, really? God damn. I want to go build big tents over top of all the rice paddies and stuff and capture all that methane and burn it for power.
Yeah.
I thought it was cows that was the biggest sort of methane. Now it's rice paddies.
Yeah.
Well, some country collect their fecal matter in a big pit, and they do just that, put a dome over it and collect it and use it for cooking gas. Better than burning down trees, ain't it?
Well, I know they do that, Bjarke, because I had to crawl through a lot of it when a machine gun opened up on me in a rice paddy dike. So I know they do a lot of that. They do put that stuff in there, but it's very effective for fertilizing the ground.
And then you got to remember,
the cycle of nature's decomposition, isn't it? Isn't that the cycle of nature? Death, decomposition, resurrection of other life, because when you decompose, whatever it is that dies, decompose, it fertilizes soil, something else can live again. That's a cycle of nature.
Well, you mean to tell me that when ants and other insects, beetles, eat up decaying flesh of human beings and other things, they're not allowed to fart?
No, well, they die too, and they become part of the decomposition process. I guess we want to defy nature and science itself, while at the same time glomming onto the idea that they're the real scientists today. And they deny the other science we've known about for thousands of years.
It's nothing wrong.
These people are just unbelievable.
Look, it's nothing wrong with ripping a big fart from time to time. Is it, Donnie?
Oh, hell no.
It's a valuable source of energy. Methane is an excellent source of energy. Let's capture it. Capture your fart. People ought to wear a fart collector underneath their underwear and be able to recycle it for money. I'm going to try to see if I can invent something like that.
Surprise.
You wear your underwear and you get your farts, and, you know, you can go in after a while, you collect up methane, you can go in and recycle it and get some money for it. And it'd be good to good use.
Laying in bed next to your wife, rip a big fart, and pull the cover over your head and sleep peacefully.
That's going a little bit too far. But still, I think we should have a way to make use of that stuff, because no point just letting it dissipate in the atmosphere.
Yeah, but you know what? Nobody studied what would happen if we did. You know, if we pull the methane out of the air, what other consequence are we going to have? What is methane doing in the atmosphere? What use or what other airborne thing does methane use, or fuel, you know? Well, hell, it could be methane is the basis for us to have clouds and rain. And if we, you know, eliminate methane, hell, maybe we won't produce any clouds, and without clouds, we're not going to get any rain. Hence, we're all going to become a desert.
Yeah, and it may help to screen the atmosphere where it can more effectively bounce asteroids off that's falling from outer space, liable to hit somebody on top of the head.
Well, I think you just hit on something there, Gunflame. Now you just come up with an idea. We can make it clear that that's the case. We make the case for that. That means these eco-fools will stop complaining about methane because they're trying to get rid of us, not do things that are beneficial for us. So we show people how it's beneficial. That means they'll stop complaining about it.
Sorry, the noisemaker was me.
Yeah, okay. I wondered who that was, son of a.
That was me. We're going to the whole weather modification thing, and it's going to get my conspiracy theory, like, up in the... I'm still of a believer that HAARP, you're heating up... They were supposedly heating up the ionosphere to let messages go farther instead of sending them up to satellites. Why the hell they want to do that, I don't know. I think that's what screwed up all our weather patterns. Plus, they're screaming to us about cow farts right now, and there's still methane well in California where they had to move the entire city is still spewing out methane. They still haven't capped it off.
Whoa. Sorry
I'm
about
sick
that.
Of them telling us, hey, listen, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. Don't drive your SUV. Listen, I drive 20 miles a day to work and back in my SUV 3 times a week. Bite me. You're driving, you're flying your private jets everywhere. Until what's good for the goose is good for the gander, they can just back off.
Yeah, they showed the airport and Davos. Oh, my gosh. You wouldn't believe all the private airplanes.
Not even just Davos. Global Climate Change Forum. They had it on an island. And they didn't have enough parking for all the private jets.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm sorry. You're going to go in for global... I mean, that was one thing about Greta Thunberg. I mean, she's an annoying little thing. But she stuck to her guns. Hold on. She stuck to her guns about saying we've got to do this and that. She believed in what she was told, and she stuck to it. So she sailed the ships. She took the trains to go to these forums and stuff like that. So she
no more.
She walked the walk and talked the talk. So she was
for a while. They
well,
paid
then
her
you got
dearly.
Everybody in her business.
They paid her dearly. They show her getting arrested, but they also show it's all a setup. The whole thing's a setup. And she's giggling because they got busted. Everybody, her whole little crowd seen her get, and how do you want me to hold my hands now? Do you want me to kind of struggle? I get the whole thing.
Are you talking about Greta Thunberg?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, for God's sake. I keep that little speech of hers. You've ruined my dreams. You destroyed my dreams. Oh, God. Whenever I want to hear, whenever I want to show somebody the face of environmental fascism and fanaticism, I play that little twerk speech.
How dare you.
Well, I'm gonna tell you something that was told to me while I was still in high school. And it was just conjecture, okay, at the time. But my dad flew for Pan Am, okay? And back in the early 60s, when jet aircraft were becoming a prominent feature in airline traffic. My dad had told me that they think that by flying these jets up so high in the atmosphere and everything, that they are actually having an effect on the jet stream. Now, the jet stream is what most of the weather patterns follow. And, you know, he said we've been noticing, you know, that the jet stream has changed a bit. You know, he didn't say it was a, you know, it was real serious. Of course, it wasn't at the time, but, you know, he did say that he believes that because we're flying those jets around, that because they're dumping out so much heat out of the engines and stuff, that it is actually moving the jet streams. Now, I've never studied the jet stream patterns or anything like that, but, you know, I could see where that's a possibility.
I can see that possibility. And I can also see, because they were heating up the ionosphere, which is above our atmosphere, is the next layer up. So if that normally is a certain temperature, wouldn't it affect what's down below? Like right now, up above is supposed to be heating and affecting us down below. That's why I was talking about heart. They said that's what they were doing, was heating that up to, you know, to see if they can pass messages back and forth. I think that, yeah, that was part of the thing to start screwing up. They're called the atmospheric rivers, and then the jet stream is the next thing, and then which gets down to the, the whole climate stuff, but changes the patterns in the oceans, the currents in the oceans.
Speaking of that,
well, I can also tell you that, well, I don't know. I mean, I've been to HARP. I've seen HARP. I have a when I worked, there was a microwave tower right next to HARP, and I've looked down upon HARP, and really tell you the truth, I can't see much in the way that the antenna array could do that. Now, I'm not saying it can't. Don't get me wrong on that. But I really don't see it. Plus,
well, back in the day when you had Rodan-sized birds flying around, maybe they caused some changes too.
Yeah, I don't know, and you know,
well,
I do know that.
I have to ask you, when you were by HARP, was there what was the atmosphere of the people? I mean, were they more depressed or just regular? Can I finish what I was saying? What I meant was, are they like more depressed? Are they angrier, or are they just regular?
Oh, they were just regular angry folks. You know, not angry at necessarily at HARP, just, you know, general out in the bush wild people, you know, that live out there and don't want to be fucked with. And you know. But the other thing, when I was working, we went out and installed a radio system for the military, and it was called Meteor Burst. What that did was we set it up out at all of the long-range radar sites and stuff, and it was a secondary backup system of communications. And what it did was bounce the radio signals off the ionization that are produced by meteorites and meteors. And, you know, that system, it took a while to get it up and really running. But, you know, it ran pretty good for quite a while, you know. And then, you know, they got other means of communications and backup and all of that stuff. So Meteor Burst went away and we tore it all down. But that was another way for them to communicate. And they were using the ions in the atmosphere to do that. And the ions were produced by the meteorites. And now, even before that, okay, when I first got up here and started working, and this was done for the dew line, it was... we used the troposphere to communicate over great distances. And we have big old antennas. And I mean, when I say big antennas, I'm saying massive. Some of these antennas were well over 100 feet square, and used very low frequency radio waves. And I mean, it wasn't anything you could really aim successfully. It was all had to be done via survey and be right on the money for both the transmitting end and the receiving end. And it shot the signal up, bounced it off the troposphere down to the next station. And the next station was usually, 200 miles away. And that worked. You couldn't send a lot of information over it. But that was the way most of the radar information and stuff was passed around here in Alaska. We had a site at each of the dew line radar sites and everything, and the network throughout the state, you know, would pass all that information on. Whereas with a regular microwave system, you might be able to go, let's see, what's the longest shot that we had?
An 18-foot team.
It was about 40 miles, you normally would say, would be a microwave. Would be about every 40 miles you'd have to have a repeater.
Somebody,
microwaves travel in a straight line, so 20 miles the Earth started curving, where a 7-foot person, you couldn't even see them.
Yeah, but you got to remember, the microwaves are up on towers, and for every foot you go up, let's see, out on the ocean, the horizon is 12 miles away, but for every foot that you go up, you get another mile for the horizon. That's how it goes. So if you go up 100 feet from the ground, you know, you can see quite a ways, you know, for your particular spot, for your horizon. You know, and I use the ocean because the ocean is consistently flat. Whereas if we're on land, it's not, you know, a consistent flat. But, you know, as you go up, you know, you can see farther and farther. And a lot of the microwave we have are up on top of hills or on the sides of a mountain or something like that. So we're even higher up, you know. And yes, Well, they are line of sight.
On top of the Gateway Arch in St. Louis, we couldn't see St. Charles.
Uh-huh.
But anyway,
wow.
So much with that.
Yeah, somebody sent me this by Bowd Harp. It's only about 2 seconds.
The climate bomb is a new weapon of mass destruction that is being secretly developed, which involves the HAARP system of magnetic bombardment to obtain unimaginable effects on a planetary scale, triggering floods, earthquakes, tsunamis, droughts, and cataclysms. Unfortunately, this scenario is no longer science fiction. Rather, it forms part of climate-based geoengineering, which uses chemtrails and HAARP. Although many claim these are conspiracy theories, the facts demonstrate that we are dealing with a shocking degree of disinformation and manipulation. The debate surrounding global climate change rarely acknowledges the existence of the climate-altering techniques detailed in the Environmental Modification Convention, ENMOD. Nonetheless, global climate can now be modified as part of a generation of sophisticated electromagnetic weapons. Both the USA and Russia have developed the ability to manipulate the weather for military purposes. Indeed, the U.S. Army has honed its skills, enabling them to selectively alter climate patterns, and this technology has been perfected using the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. It is a side project linked to a strategic defense initiative from a military standpoint. HAARP is a weapon of mass destruction that operates in outer space, and it is capable of destabilizing the entire world's agricultural and ecological systems. Climate warfare is the latest weapon of mass destruction, and it has the potential to destabilize the ecosystems of enemy countries, destroying their agriculture or disabling their communication networks. In other words, HAARP's climate-altering techniques can completely undermine a national economy and force millions of people into poverty. It can kill a nation without deploying troops or battle tanks. HAARP is linked to 50 years' worth of intensive, destructive programs focused on learning about and controlling the upper atmosphere. It is an integral part of a long history of space-based research and deliberate military development. The ability to combine missiles, space labs, and HAARP, discharging massive amounts of energy, is comparable to a nuclear bomb launched anywhere on Earth, using lasers and particle beams.
Okay, thank you.
Well,
Hold on just a second. Lorianne, if you're still with us, I think you are. Your show's tomorrow night. You want to tell us about it since you're on mute?
Sure, yep, I'm still here. I've just been listening and doing chores.
Okay.
Yeah, tune in tomorrow night.
What happened? She's gone. Lorianne, did you mute yourself?
Lorianne.
Her vacuum cleaner got it.
Yeah, you turn off your vacuum cleaner and try it again.
In there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes, I can hear you. Go ahead. Hello?
My Bluetooth off and back on again. Can you
hear
me now?
Yeah, I could hear you before. But you can't hear me.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Hang on.
All right. Joseph, you go.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
I'm gonna hang up and dial right back in again.
Too late.
Or
too
wait,
late.
Maybe I can't.
Yeah, you can't. Okay, Joseph, she can't hear me.
Wicked Libertarian with Lorianne tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Tune in. There. Maybe you guys heard that.
We heard it. Joseph, go ahead, buddy.
All right, Tuesday, 7 p.m., Restoring Our Republic, Real Solutions. And, of course, you know, I'm running down here in North Carolina for North Carolina House of Representatives. So anybody from North Carolina that's listening,
yes,
check me out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Check him out. And who else has got a show? Lori's also on a show on Friday night. She's a co-host of Conservative News Nation. I think it's the name of it.
Conservative Nation.
Boy, you just blank right out. Conservative
Nation.
It's a three. Yeah. Anyway, it's Friday night. Last night, I think it came on at 9. I believe. And Ron Reck, he's got a show. He's on about any time. So check it out. It's a hit and miss with Ron Reck, I think. I don't know if he's got a set time or
a day. I could tell you one thing that's definitely they were pushing us for a long time, but now it is definitely almost self-evident in full play. If you say anything that you're proud to be white, or any type of, you post anything on social media, you are a racist, you're a neo-Nazi, you can't post anything about anything pro-European, or if you criticize the border, that's it. That's how they got you. That's how they got you. You are a racist and a neo-Nazi, and that's it. That's all there's to it. You know? Yeah. I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah. Now we found out the FBI is jumping in. Getting all the names that if you write a check or you use your credit card and use MAGA or Trump, they have to know your name. They want to know about you. So they're spying on
running
that
background
way.
Checks. Yeah, background checks. The state assembly running background checks. Who the hell? What the hell? That's not what they're elected to do. Run background checks on people.
Yeah.
What are they? What are they? KGB? They're not lawmakers. They're the KGB legislators. That's what we got to call them now, the KGB. I mean, what is this? What next? Knocking on our doors? Want to search our homes?
You know, the funny thing about this is that these type of sentiments and actions have been going on all along. If it wasn't for Trump, it never would have came out to the forefront where we can see it.
I believe you're right. I believe you're right. I believe if Trump wasn't elected, we wouldn't have known any of this stuff. I really believe you can say a lot about Trump, but that's one thing he gave us. He gave us our eyes back and our brain. And a lot of people, even Joe Rogan, Mr. Liberal himself, he really is blasting the Democrats, which is good. He's got over 100 million folks that listen to him.
You know, the first time I ever seen a red light camera or one of those cameras, I was in Belleville, Illinois. It was about 1978. And of course, you know, you didn't pay too much attention to it then.
Before we all go off in the weeds, let me make a request of everybody when you announce your show. And you announce the time that it comes on. Would you please say what time zone you're in and what time zone it comes on in? You know, like Joe, your show comes on, 7 p.m. Eastern? Okay.
Correct.
Yeah, because you come on at 3 for me, you know. And that is, that would be one nice thing that when all of you show hosts give your time that you come on, tell us what time zone you're talking about, you know.
Okay, Conservative Nation is a Eastern time zone.
Yeah.
Ron Reck is Eastern. Eastern. Lori's Pacific.
Now, I know Ron Reck is Central.
Oh, is it Central?
Yeah, he's in Central because he's in Missouri.
Okay.
I know Robert, Conservative Nation Radio.
That's Eastern.
I think he's Mountain. I can't remember what time zone New Mexico
is Mountain
in.
Mountain time. Can you hear me now? I switched earbuds.
Yes.
Do I have audio?
We could always hear you.
Oh, perfect.
You couldn't hear us.
Oh, okay, good.
So, you know,
okay,
if
Yeah, Conservative Nation Media. This show is on Fridays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern. But he is based in Mountain Time Zone, yeah. And I'm Pacific.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because I gotta rack my brain up here some days, and my brain's getting a little old trying to figure out, okay, what time zone is he in? What time does it come on at my house? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that would be confusing. Man,
so,
got all quiet.
Anyway, that's all, that was
Nation
all
Radio.
I wanted to say.
Yeah, Lori's on about 15 shows during the week, so you can catch her about any show. Just plug her in.
For one, and then my own show. I thought I would let our friend here in the conservative.
And she's gone again.
Yep.
Lori?
On Conservative Nation Radio.
Lori's acting kind of like Ron Rex's show. Just pop in, pop out, you know.
Yeah, her. Lori, I don't know what you were
my
trying
audio.
To say. Yeah, your audio, you get a couple words in and it fades right out. Try it again. What were you saying?
Oh, lovely.
Try it again. We got the lovely part.
We almost did that. Is this okay?
Yes, you're fine.
Okay,
Now you're gone again. For people who are wondering, San Francisco just kicked a go-ahead field goal, 24-21, with 1 minute and 7 seconds left in the game. And there you go. I don't know who won the game this afternoon, though.
Tennessee. Or no, Baltimore. The Jaguars won.
Oh, Baltimore won. Oh. Do you know the score by any chance?
Yeah, it was way too much against way too little for the Texas boys.
Okay. Well, sorry about that, Bobby.
It wasn't as close as this game.
Oh, okay. Texas Bob is bumming. Sorry about that, buddy. Oh well. Baltimore's got a good team.
So did Texas, but I think they forgot to show up.
Well, there's always next year. Isn't that what they say?
It's all rigged.
Yep.
Rigged.
100% rigged.
Now, Walgreens in Boston is closed, and people are raising holy hell about it. And I watched three different local networks, news shows, and not one of them mentioned the reason they're closing, and it's because of theft. They can't keep in business when they keep getting ripped off, and not one person has mentioned this at all. Here's a little bit of
neighborhood, and tonight neighbors who rely on that pharmacy are furious.
As WBZ's Tiffany Chan shows us, they say it's more than just an inconvenience.
The store shelves are empty and the signs are up, alerting customers that this Roxbury Walgreens will be closed for good at the end of the month.
How are they supposed to go get their medicine?
Outrage from residents who rely on the Warren Street drugstore in this predominantly black neighborhood.
What happens to our seniors and our single parents that have no way to get to a Walgreens or another pharmacy anywhere near their home? And so we think it's insensitive, it's unjust.
Reverend Minyard Culpepper points to the senior housing developments just steps from the wall.
That's why we need our own shit. Everybody want to talk about all this black power shit. We can't tell these corporations where to put their business at.
Let's keep it If this is a black business that was plagued by robbery like this, it would close the exact same way.
I saw where somebody, I don't know what
the Cartier family, I like these four guys, man. They kind of play tapes and they're learning. I'm learning right along with them, too. And they got it. They understand what's going on, and they don't like it. But none of these newscasters decided to tell the reason why they were closing. And Walmart's shut down, or Walgreens has shut down quite a few of their stores. And I do feel bad for the older people. There's a lady that has got a walker. She walks a few blocks to this Walgreens to get her medicine. Now she's got to go another mile to the next pharmacy. And I do feel bad for those kind of, you know, those folks. It's a damn inconvenience, but not one of them says, hey, this is what happens when you let people come in and steal. And they did the same thing they did in California. They don't prosecute. You can get arrested, but you're back on the street in a couple hours. They arrested a lady three times. Well, they didn't arrest her. They let her go the first two times. The third time, they had to put her in handcuffs. And a police officer was overheard. We just take her downtown. They're just going to turn around and give her a fingerprint and throw her right back out on the street. We'll be arresting her again probably by the end of the night. Ripping things.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
It's okay. Go ahead.
I'm watching the end of the game. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Can you believe that? Come back with a couple minutes left in the game and win it.
Yep.
Ball game.
You Sorry never throw across your body. You never. They teach you that from high school to college to the pros. You never throw across the field. He's in a playoff game, okay? He played perfect last week, or he's going to throw it across his body right now. Come on, into triple coverage. Get out of here. Rigged, rigged. Okay? No way.
Yeah, he did, boy. He did cross his body across the field right into triple coverage. That is crazy in a playoff game.
Yeah.
Wow. And he played. He beat the hell out of Dallas, though. Like, I want his autograph for that.
Yeah, destroyed him. Played perfect.
Hello, Major. Yeah. Glad to see you still with us. Yes, sir. Glad to be here. You hop in back here. We're going to run down the road and see Gary's got a line set up, or if they're still running like rabbits. Outstanding, Wilbur. He'll be all right.
Next
on the way. I'll be fine.
He might be on another show. Or he's outside. I hear a car. People on replays, these microphones pick up a lot of things. There you go.
Yeah. They do.
They do. They sure do. Lorianne, I don't know if you're still, you know, with it. I know your phone number is right there, so you're still on. Kathy, you're still here, I think.
Is that loaded?
So if I lost you think I'd be here shaking my hand? You know, if I lost that game, I wouldn't be shaking hands with them and Pat Ludd. I'd be pissed off as hell, man. I'd be like, damn it, man, you know, I'd be mad. We ain't friends. We're playing. Well, that's the good old days of football, man. He's a smash mouth football. You know, the Chicago Bears back in 85. Those were games.
Yeah. Who's making all the racket?
I don't know. Somebody playing something.
Please,
so now it's going to be between the Lions and the 49ers for the championship. Watch.
Yeah. No, they've got to play the winner of tomorrow, Detroit Lions and Tampa Bay Buccaneer game. They'll play the winner, and the winner goes to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I predict it's going to be San Francisco in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's what the odds makers were calling it, and it'll be San Fran against Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore. Jeez. Baltimore is damn good.
Yeah.
I watched them two games. What is that noise?
It's not me.
I know. I know it's not Lorianne. I know it's not that number. Let me try this number. Hang on. Okay. It must be Sarge.
Remember a damn thing. Not even your office.
Yep. It was Sarge. Sarge, yeah. I put you on mute for a second.
Hey, Donnie.
Yes, sir.
How many listeners do the UAW show have?
Oh, I don't know. We just started back up last week. I don't even know. I don't know. We had like 41 or something in the switchboard, but I don't know.
You guys basically, you guys primarily use Blog
they,
Talk. You don't have no physical location where you meet, do you?
Well, no. They, I know Scott puts the show on every UAW page, so all they have to do is even people put it on their own Facebook pages, and so
yeah.
It's hard to tell how many people listen to it. All they have to do is go to their own Facebook page or their own UAW page and play it from there. And on Arlington, Texas, they have a transmitter that they everybody's got an FM radio, and they put it on a certain frequency, and the lady, I forgot her name now, damn, she puts it on and she shoots it through her, when I mow my lawn, I use a transmitter so I can listen to the radio and in the house. And she shoots it through her setup, and it picks up on everybody's FM radio. So if anybody wanted to listen to it, they could listen to it right at their desk while they're doing their job. And she's been doing that for years.
So you going from Michigan to Texas? And
oh, we're all over the United States. Okay,
that's great.
Yeah, we're all over the United States.
Yeah, I'll pass that word on. I was trying to figure out exactly what type of arrangements that you guys had going on. I don't know if it was a physical location or just
broadcast. All over the United States. And I got 25,000 followers on X, Twitter. Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds good. I don't know what to tell them, to tell you.
I'd like to get General Flynn. He follows us on Twitter, and I'd like to get him and see what he thinks about COS.
The one that Alex Jones says is Q, the Q guy? Isn't that Flynn?
I don't know.
No.
I don't think so, no. I don't think it was. No, it wasn't Flynn.
Mike Flynn.
Yeah.
Alex Jones is claiming that Mike Flynn is the Q guy.
Q is unknown.
No, I don't think it was General
Q
Flynn.
I think is a conglomerate of a bunch of people.
Yeah, and he started making some big time money, and next thing you know, they had their own show, and it was going 24 hours a day. And they were pulling in, how much money. They had so many followers. And then they had, they got the Patreon. They were making thousands of dollars a day, making big, huge money. And they took them off the air. I don't know what happened. But there was a whole bunch of Qs. A lot of people.
Misinformation.
That's right. That's the way
that's what they were claiming. It's misinformation.
When I first discovered Q, I thought, well, that's pretty cool. People are getting interested in what's going on. Then I watched it and I go, hold on. It's not that. These people are running bullshit is what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yep. Bob said, yeah, but the great
it brought up a whole new industry, though, of everybody out there trying to decode the cryptic messages that Q was putting out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. They were, too.
Yeah.
We've got one coming in at 2410, so make sure you're here. Make sure you're 2400 hours. We'll try to figure it out. Of course, they always figure it out. Or there would be a picture.
Well, they always think they figured it out.
Oh, yeah. And that was good for another $500 in the kitty. Yeah, they always, I don't know, I don't even, is there even a Q, anything going on with Q anymore? I used to hear a lot about it, and Trump mentioned Q once, and oh, God, the internet about blew up.
Yeah, I believe Q is still out there, but they're not... The message isn't getting out because anytime anybody posts something about Q or something like that, they get knocked down, you know.
No. So the shine is rubbed off the Q train.
Well, or they've seriously censored it.
Okay. I thought maybe they started their own... on their own web site somewhere.
That I don't know.
They have some very expensive equipment. They started off really cheesy, like equipment like I've got. But boy, they advanced. In about 3 weeks after they started broadcasting, they had beautiful Shure microphones and big mixers and even amps.
Kind of like Wolfman Jack.
That was it, man.
You remember he went down in Mexico?
That's where he started.
He set up a station, was pumping out like 1 million watts.
No, 50,000. Flamethrower.
Blowtorch.
Yeah. CKLW in Windsor, Ontario, the same way. Man, I best rock and roll station back in the 60s.
Then the black churches went to them so they could get their message out to their congregation. Who's preaching on the radio.
Yeah, yeah. They got that going on.
Man, that was something else back in them days. Wolfman Jack, I really miss him. From the good old days.
Yeah,
American Graffiti was an American classic.
He went to Hollywood on us, though. You know, he was on, what was that, Midnight Special?
Yep.
On every Friday night.
Hey, Donnie.
Yes, there's my cousin, Kathy.
Yeah, I've been busy mopping and listening to y'all. But
okay.
QAnon and Q, I've heard. You know, it's two entirely different things.
Right.
You know.
You're right.
Q started putting out messages back in 2017, and a lot of it has come to pass. Q is supposed to be some intelligence agencies, about six of them. You know, and they were putting out those messages.
Q started. I thought Q started about 2015.
Well, they probably did, but if my memory is right, they started putting out these messages and stuff in like 2017.
And then the Anons came. Then the Anons came and it kind of merged.
Yeah, they're not Q, you know.
Right. Yeah, the Anons are not Q.
Right.
Q is supposed to be the 17th letter of the alphabet, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, not, I believe you're right.
That has some significance, the reason it was called Q, you know, 17th And I don't remember what I read about that. But
you probably read they always played Yahtzee. No, what's that game that you make words? And I always got the Q, but I never could get the U to go with the
Scrabble.
Q to make a word.
Scrabble.
Yeah, so that was the downfall. That's probably why they use Q.
I don't know.
You had to be there, Kathy. You had to be there.
Had to be where?
I don't know. It was a joke. Never mind. Never mind. Kathy's mopping and Lori Ann was vacuuming. Boy, this show, if I did a show every night, you guys had the cleanest houses in town.
Well, I haven't done much of it lately, but, you know, I'm a little by...
Sarge, are you back? Are you leaving? I hear a door.
Well, Kathy, where do all these sightings go when the weather gets cold?
I don't know. And I don't care just as long as I don't see them.
Oh, did I mention we have about less than 4 weeks until spring training? Less than 4 weeks. That's a 4 week warning here, ladies and gentlemen. 4 week warning.
Something that y'all not heard you talk about. Maybe it's because, you know, I wasn't listening or I wasn't on the show, but y'all never discussed that mall business down in Florida. Did y'all not see that?
Yeah.
I don't think it's on the news. It may have been on the news. I don't know.
Yeah, I seen it.
And
Donnie,
Daniel was on and talked about it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Going radio silence and... there were airspace was cleared out. What else? Supposed to have been about 50 teenagers fighting, trying to loot. But they had like 100 cop cars. There was radio phones. I wrote the list down. There was 4 police choppers. They shut down the airspace. And they was confiscating people's cell phones, you know. And there's 2 different theories on what happened. One was the teenagers, you know, throwing firecrackers. And the other one was, and I did see 1 or 2 on the internet, the other one was they saw some 10-foot humanoids, you know, interdimensional beings.
Yeah.
You know, that was the second word. So.
Yeah.
So where is this happening?
In some mall down in Florida. Where? Miami. A mall down in Florida. And this was about a month ago when this happened.
Right.
And somebody did a TikTok video on the internet, and he said, you know, any videos that were taken at the time, because people were running, you know, and that they had been taken off of the internet. But he said, you know, he saw these creatures from a distance. They were 10 foot, you know. Daniel said interdimensional, you know. I don't know what happened. That's, and they were taking people's cell phones away from them, you know, to delete anything they may have recorded. But, you know, for teenagers, why would they go radio silence? And why would they have choppers? And why would they have 100 cops there? And they shut down the airspace all around the mall, I mean, for a bunch of teenagers with firecrackers.
Black SUVs showed up, the men in black, all that.
Daniel said some black, I didn't write that down, but some black SUVs, a lot of black SUVs showed up. So.
Men in black.
Well, that's what Daniel said.
No, I don't know. I seen it. I seen pictures of what they say were the humanoids or whatever, but I couldn't. I looked like two guys walking down the street as far as I could see.
Yeah, I know.
Somebody should have ran over and tackled a couple of them.
Yeah. Stop fighting and get us some internet goop. Come on.
Well, Yankee, that would have been your job. I would have been running with the rest of them. That would have been your job. Stay back there and capture them. 10 foot? How tall are you? What are you, about 6 foot? And you're gonna tackle some 10 foot humanoids?
At least you grab them around the legs, hell, around the ankle.
They all fall when you do that, right?
You can beat the shit out of their knees.
Yeah, it's easier said than done. I like to see y'all in a situation like that. Let's just see what you do.
I just get in the police car. Run them over. Run them over, man.
Well, if they're in the dimensional, I doubt if you could.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, I seen that, and it kind of lasted about, I don't know, maybe 2 days, and that's about the end of it. Nobody bought into it.
The last I heard about it was a few nights ago. Somebody came on there and said that the beings were supposed to have ended up in Antarctica. They got the coordinates in messed up, switched, and they ended up in the mall in Miami. Daniel said the coordinates are reversed for Miami and the Antarctica, longitude and latitude.
That's over my head.
Well, mine too. But if there is such a thing as a portal that they could have come through, I mean, something like that would be possible, you know. Wouldn't you have to have coordinates to go through a portal?
No, I'd
kind of like to
right
know where
there.
I was going to end up.
I never been to a portal, so I don't know.
Just pay you a ticket and walk right on in.
No, thanks.
I told you guys about the time I was out deer hunting up there in northern Missouri, this side of Hannibal in Ashburn Park. And parked my car and went off in the woods. And next thing I knew, it was dark. I looked at my watch. My watch was reading 2 o'clock. Damn watch had stopped. And off in the distance, you could see the lightning flashing. I guess it was a storm going on.
Yeah.
So it was too dark to try to walk out of there. That's dangerous. So what I walked into, I found an old giant doll house. So I got in my little pack and pulled out some apples and oranges and threw them around the front of that doll house. Crawled up in there with my damn shotgun. Went to sleep.
And what you start?
I tell you what, anything that came up on me, boy, was gonna get blasted. That was around the time they were starting having the Bigfoot sightings in southern Illinois, up northern Missouri, up in Tom Sawyer area, Huckleberry Finn's area.
The Bigfoot sightings?
Yeah.
Boy. No, they say Alaska's got a lot of Bigfoot.
Alaska's got that other creature that's known for decapitating the people.
They say a lot of stuff about Alaska.
Yeah.
What's the name of that creature that decapitate people up there in Alaska?
So
well, let's see. Okay, let me see. there's the brown bear, the black bear, the polar bear.
Grizzly. Now don't forget the grizzly.
Well, grizzly and the brown bear, same.
Some human being or something that's disconnected from time that follow you around and jump, pounce on you and decapitate you.
Yeah. Well, that's the bear. You know.
Well, you solved it there.
Here's the thing. There's the difference between a brown bear and a grizzly bear is basically what their diet is. Okay, a brown bear is mostly a herbivore, eating, berries and all of that type of stuff as their main source of food. A grizzly bear will be the ones that are down closer to the streams where all the salmon and fish run, and they go eat fish. So that's a big difference between the brown bear and a grizzly. And then the Kodiak bear, which is a grizzly bear, but is a bigger bear, and they're almost strictly fish eaters.
Did that answer your question, Pianchi?
I know the state of hell from up there.
Kathy, you got anything else you want to start? Any other stories from Miami? She went back to mopping.
You seeing it three lighted obstacles up in the sky down there in Alabama anymore? Shaped like a triangle?
No, I'm not out there at Mama's anymore. See, I used to see that out there on the front porch. And
yeah,
it was like two of them. And they weren't in the same spot every night, but like I'd see them up there this week, and then 2 weeks I'd see them up there again, the same place. But not every night, but they would be in the same position, you know, red, white, and blue blinking. I'm back at home now, Pianchi.
We just see chemtrails
all the time.
yeah, that I can believe in.
Daniel goes out there and gets pictures of them. I told you about the X's I saw, great big gigantic X, all in the west. And then there was one in the east, one in the north, one in the south. That was weird. I mean, that was really weird. And people were stopping out here. You know, that was when I was at home several years ago.
Yeah, you told me about that. I remember you saying that. People were getting out of the cars looking at this thing.
This one old lady, elderly, probably in her 70s or 80s, she said, "I've never seen anything like that before, ever." And I've not seen it since.
I seen a tic-tac-toe, whatever the hell it's called, up in the, I seen it myself. Not the X's and O's, but I seen the board. I've never seen anything like that before. And I told Rick, we come out in a few hours and you're going to not see the sun. And we had blue skies too. Beautiful day, just beautiful. And we were at work and taking a break. Never seen anything like that.
I think they're playing with us, you know, when they do stuff like that.
Nobody believes it. People, no, it can't happen. No way. No way. Well, I know what I've seen. You know what you've seen.
Yeah.
If you know it's hazy, my blue sky's gone. By the time I get out of work, man, it was this hazy.
Yeah.
It's hazy.
Now, my brother thinks there's no such thing as chemtrails. You know, he's got his pilot's license. You know, he used to own a plane.
Yeah.
And he explained to me what that was. I said, why does some of it disappear and some of it just linger and spread out? You know? Well, he couldn't explain that. But he explained to me what was coming out of the plane.
Right.
And he doesn't believe in chemtrails. He says it's something coming out of the engine, like an exhaust or something. But then it disappears normally. But these chemtrails linger and they spread out.
Contrails disappear.
Right. Right.
There's pictures. I got pictures of a plane. It's got nothing but canisters, big canisters, no seats at all. Just canisters all the way through it with hoses.
I've seen a picture too. I have.
But nobody wants to believe it. I believe our government's so damn nasty. We always talk about Russia and China, and I believe they're nasty too. Don't get me wrong, but everybody thinks our government's just so good. We take care of all the people. We don't do nothing wrong. We come to everybody's defense.
Well, I say we're the number one terrorist on the planet. We're the only ones that ever dropped a bomb on another country. And we're supposed to be for democracy. Yeah, yeah, we're the only ones that's ever done that.
Yeah.
But yet everybody else is terrorist.
Well,
I'm not gonna say anything about the bomb. The bomb had its purposes.
I think it
otherwise we would have been a couple of million boys short.
That's right. I agree with you. I think that those two bombs saved a lot of American lives.
And it saved a lot of Japanese lives too, believe it or not.
It did. I believe so. That war would have lasted a lot longer, believe me. Nobody was given. They weren't given nothing up. They were heroes if they died.
Hell, some of them was running around the woods still fighting in the early 50s.
Oh, longer than that. I was alive, and they found one that was out in the woods, in the forest. He didn't know the damn war was over, and he was still trying to fight. And his family thought he was been dead. he was by himself out in the woods. Now that's dedication, folks. That's dedication.
Yeah. The one guy wouldn't surrender until they actually found his commanding officer.
That's right.
And brought him down to tell him that they had surrendered and the war was over.
Yes, yes. I remember that. Oh, my God. Can you imagine that? Oh, I just suppose it just... The dedication and you're not going to take my country without a fight. Can you imagine being in the woods that long?
Well, yeah, kamikazes had to have some dedication flowing through their blood.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
Well, so did American soldiers, too. When you read upon that, look upon it, it was one of those incidents that the only way you could describe it is say it was something else.
And we never want to go through that again. But I got a feeling that's exactly where they're pushing us. Not necessarily fighting another country, but fighting in this country. And I heard that NBC News came out and said the Pentagon is making contingency plans against Trump in case he wins about taking the military away from him because he might use it against his other Democrats that were against him or Republicans. Right, or put the military in the streets.
You don't have to put the military in the street. We got enough patriots that would want to bring these corrupt people to justice where they can serve, be tried, and serve the time that they deserve to be serving.
Oh, man, Bob, I hope Bob, if you're still listening, I hope you, a half hour from Houston, they're building you can buy a house for land for $100. And hold on, I think that's Sarge again. He must have fell asleep or something. There you go. Land for $100 and they're putting all these illegal, or, well, they're not calling them illegal, but they're illegal immigrants. And it's a half hour from Houston. And you know, Glenn Beck lives in right outside of Dallas. He's been trying, he did a documentary about it and talked to the developer. And they gave Abbott $1.5 million for his campaign, and also in all the just they're being left alone. Put it that way, they're not being nothing's going on by regulations or anything like that. And Glenn Beck said they're turning Texas blue, and it's going to be blue soon. And if we lose Texas, we're going to lose the country. And he said there's thousands, and the crime rate is through the roof. It's terrible. This terrible. So Bob lives not too far from Houston. I was wondering about.
I've heard the name of it, and I can't remember.
I can't either. Let me see if I
what they're calling it.
Kevin something, ain't it?
Damn. No. That doesn't ring a bell. I know I saved it somewhere. Going back to the documentary about it, and the guy's pretty happy with himself.
Are you talking about the land that a guy keeps selling over and over? It's $100 down.
Yeah.
And they're at 14%. They're 14% interest. And then the majority of the time they default on it and he takes the land back and then resells.
Yeah, but that, you got that part of it, but most, they're not losing their land and it's illegals
and they're building shacks.
And they can build whatever
they can't
afford
to build anything else.
Right. It's their land. They're being left alone.
And it's about, Did it say it was about 50 acres he has? And
I
the
don't
big
know.
Thing, is, the one guy said he had just gotten back from, when he had just gotten back from Afghanistan, when he went out there for some reason on patrol, he had to go out there and he said it smelled just like Afghanistan. He said it was just burning garbage everywhere. He said when you're off the property, you can see it. And he said it's just black smoke coming from different
Yeah. He said it was just like he was in a third world country, and how he'd be walking down the street and it smells, and he said smelled just like it.
Wonder why come these people don't do that over in Mexico. You got wide open expanses of land.
Well, they want to import 35 million people into Canada now, and Canada only has 35 million people. Now, Canada's got a lot of land. It's just sitting there, and they want to move. They want to double the size of Canada. And, of course, they're all for that.
Well, where in the hell are these people coming from?
Behind the scenes, they're not.
Trudeau's all for that.
I know
colony
that.
Colony rich. That's it. That's
but,
it.
Yeah.
Colony
but he's
not,
rich. Yeah.
But colony he's not
rich.
Really for it.
Hold on
he did
for
this
a minute.
Last well, time. He took a whole bunch of refugees in and then quietly deported them.
Well, hell, he took the bank accounts of truckers that was complaining about one thing, and you say now they open to bring in 35 million people from somewhere. That means 35 million people is going to be left someplace else. What the hell are they going to do there?
I don't know. I'm just.
And if
I
you think
know.
People from Ecuador and Venezuela are going to move to the north of Canada and try to live out in the northern tundra, it ain't going to happen.
No, it ain't going to happen. The people freeze their ass. Freeze their
ass.
Yeah,
they'd be dead the first month into a winter, not realizing what to do.
They'd be running back down to Ecuador.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just looking for... Did you guys come up with the name of that?
Colony Ridge.
Yeah, Bob did. It's Colony Ridge.
Oh, Colony. That's right. Colony Ridge. That's it. Oh, yeah. I'm supposed to play this. Oh, you guys got to listen to this. This is amazing. This is 1965, Paul Harvey.
Oh, and yeah.
The name of it, If I Were the Devil. Listen to this.
If I were the devil. If I were the devil. If I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, the. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Wow. Original 1965 broadcast. Good day. Paul Harvey,
yep.
One of the originals.
I remember listening to that.
I don't remember listening to that. I remember listening to Paul Harvey every day. My mom and dad had the radio on. Paul Harvey, good day. Now remember that. That just blows my mind. He just said it all. Awful quiet.
Everybody's contemplating what we just heard.
Yes. They are. And let me see if Sarge is with us again. Uh-oh. I think it's too late for Sarge. I put him on mute. Now it's the spinning. So, Lorianne, do you ever get your whatever in the hell you use working so you can communicate? Somebody's trying.
Since I can't hang up or reboot my phone, I might not be able to have much luck. I don't know if
you're
catching everything I'm saying or not.
Can you hear me? No, you can't hear me. Ah, well, you might as well hang up, Lorianne, and call it a night.
Hi, Lorianne.
She can't hear you, hon.
Yeah, she can hear us. She just put in the chat room
that
she can hear us.
Oh, she can hear us.
She can hear, she just can't talk for some reason.
Oh. Bob put something in there in the chat room and we copy it. Now who's making noise, Cinnamon?
That was me, sorry. It's your coffee.
Oh, well, then you make all the noise you want. Coffee.
Oh, excuse me.
Excuse me. You all right? That
yeah,
didn't sound
just
good.
A big sneeze.
Let's see what. But, well, if I can get it to play. Munitions dump from World War II era found on sea floor off of California, experts say. Oh, what kind of munitions from World War II? Maybe some of it would still work. I don't know. I don't think I'd be wanting to find out.
I can't remember exactly when, but out on Dutch Harbor, there were some kids playing and going through all the bunkers and stuff up there. And, you know, them little fuckers, they found a full case of Thompson's submachine guns.
Oh.
Still wrapped up in plastic in Cosmoline in perfect condition. You know what them little suckers did?
Oh, God, I don't know. Apparently they didn't
turn them in.
They turned
them in.
Turned them in?
Yeah.
I'd still be beating my kid for turning them in. Are you kidding? Thompson. Oh, you dumb son of a gun, you.
Yeah.
A whole case of them.
Yeah.
Wow. How in the hell did somebody lose a whole case of Thompson's?
They just never picked them up.
It'd be worth a fortune.
Yeah, and that was something like 40 years ago. Damn.
Hmm. Damn.
Well, you know, gotta remember, kids aren't all that smart sometimes.
Or they're too smart. I don't know.
Yeah.
Man, didn't they go home to Dad and say, look what I found?
I mean, don't know.
Call the police and say, hey. I wonder if the police ever, they must have, if we know about it now, they must have went ahead and turned them in.
There was no way that you were going to keep that kind of stuff quiet out there
in the
village.
I think I would find, if there was only two police officers, I think two would be missing. I'd turn the rest in, but two would be definitely missing.
I don't know how many got. I don't know how many got turned in, but the cases aren't there anymore.
Wow. God. That'd been nice. That would have been nice.
Oh, yeah.
I would like that.
There was, in that case, was everything you needed except for the 45 ACP ammo.
Well, you can get that.
Yeah.
Bianchi, we could have a good time with that. Me, you, Boyd, we could have a good time.
It would be an expensively good time.
Yeah. Yes, it would. Bring it out on special occasions.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, they're sweet to fire. A friend of mine that I worked with at work, he had one, and he let me shoot it. And God, that was sweet.
But the truth of
expensive, but sweet.
Oh, I'd love to fire one. I know you got to kind of shoot low and kind of hold it low because it wants to travel up.
Well, the one I shot didn't rise that much.
Oh, okay.
Because that's a heavy piece of gear, you know, heavy piece of gun.
Yeah.
It was easy to keep it down and on target.
Oh, okay. Let me play this real quick. I found it. It's I missed it again. Hold on I don't want to play all this crap. when it's about that.
This is a moneymaker like you can't believe. You cannot import 10 million people into a country and not have communities like this. This is the future of America if we don't wake up. Have you ever been to Brazil? You go to Rio, nice houses, right out of the gate, poverty like you've never seen, right? That's what's coming to America. We are becoming a third world nation, and this is the canary in the coal mine.
Rob, if you got the clip to play it, there you go. If you want to make it bigger and
I think that's a commercial.
Not that guy. He's going to talk about your poop.
Yeah, about your poop.
Go ahead, Rob.
Really? Okay.
Go for it.
I'm Joe Biden's out of office. There will be about 10 million new people in here. If you have 10 million people coming in, where are they living? Look at the size of this.
The fastest growing development in Texas is just a 30-minute drive from Houston.
Any idea of how many are illegal?
The majority. I'm like Sears and Roebuck. I have a product. I created it. I sell it.
Does it bother you at all, just culturally, in America, to have 150,000 people that are speaking another language?
Own something of your own. Own your own home. That's what we're trying to create for people here.
If it's the American dream, why don't you advertise in English?
They are going against humanity, against Americans, non-Americans, a lot of races, a lot of people.
Like, we were dumb for even